ഉപാധിക്കി ജയം നിഥിലീല പ്രവിഷ്ട വിഷ്ണുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിവ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശതശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ ഭക്തസിദ്ധാന്ത സരസ്വതി മഹാരാജ് ശീല പ്രഭുപാദിക്കി അനന്തകോടി വൈഷ്ണവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് മാമാചാര്യ ശിലഹരദാസ് ഠാക്കൂർക്ക് പ്രേം സഹോ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭു നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധാര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗര ഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ശ്രീ ശ്രീ രാധാകൃഷ്ണ ഗോപഗോപിനാഥ ശ്യാമകുണ്ടരാധാ കുണ്ടഗിരി ഗോവർദ്ധാനിക്ക് വൃന്ദാവൻ ധാമിക്ക് മായപ്പൂർ ധാമിക്ക് മധുരപുരി ധാമിക്ക് ജഗന്നാഥ് പുരി ധാമിക്ക് ദ്വാരകാപുരി ധാമിക്ക് ഗംഗമായിക്ക് യമുനമായിക്ക് തുളസിദേവിക്ക് ഭക്തിദേവിക്ക് സാമവേദ ഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ഗൗർ പ്രേമനന്ദി ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ദി അസംബ്ലിഡ് ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ദി അസംബ്ലിഡ് ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ദി അസംബ്ലിഡ് ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ശ്രീ ശ്രീ ഗുരുവൻ ശ്രീ ഗൗരംഗ ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ശീല പ്രഭുപാദ നമോമിഷപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലെ ശ്രീമതി ഭക്തിവേദാന്തസ്വാമിനിധി നാമിനി നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതി ദേവീം ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണി നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യ ദേശധാരിണി ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ സംസാരസാഗരേ മഗ്നം ദീനം മാം കരുണാനിധേ കർമ്മഗ്രാഹഗൃഹീതാംഗം മാമുദ്ധര ഭവാർണവാൻ ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവദാഖ്യോയം പ്രത്യക്ഷ കൃഷ്ണമേവ ഹി സ്വീകൃതോസി മയാ നാഥ മുക്ത്യർത്ഥം ഭവസാഗരേ മനോരഥേ മദീയോയം സഫലാ സർവദാ ത്വയാ നിർവിഘ്നേനൈവ കർത്തവ്യം ദാസോഹം തവ കേശവ ഭവേ ഭവേ യഥാ ഭക്തി പാദയോർസ്തവ ജായതേ തഥാ കുരുഷ്വ ദേവേശ നാഥസ്ത്വം നോ യത് പ്രഭോ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം യസ്യ സർവപാപ പ്രണാശനം പ്രണാമോ ദുഃഖശമനം തം നമാമി ഹരിം പരം ജന്മാദ്യസ്യ യതോന്വയാദിതരതശ്ചാർത്തേഷ്വഭിജ്ഞസ്വരാ തേനേ ബ്രഹ്മഹൃദായ ആദികവയേ മുഹ്യന്തി യത്സൂരയ തേജോവാരിമൃതം യഥാ വിനിമയോ യത്ര ത്രിസർഗോ മൃഷ ധാംനാ സ്വേന സദാ നിരസ്തകുഹകം സത്യം പരം ധീമഹി പ്രോജിതകൈതവോത്ര പരമോ നിർമ്മത്സരാണാം സദാം വേദ്യം വാസ്തവമത്ര വസ്തു ശിവദം താപത്രയോന്മൂലനം ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതേ മഹാമുനികൃതേ കിംവാവരൈരീശ്വര സദ്യോ ഹൃദ്യവരുദ്ധ്യതേത്ര കൃതി ശുശ്രൂഷുഭീ തക്ഷണാൻ നിഗമകൽപ്പതരോർഗലിതം ഫലം ശുഖമുഖാദമൃതദ്രവ സംയുതം പിബത ഭാഗവതം രസം ആലയം മുഹുരഹോരസികാ ഭുവി ഭാവുകാ സച്ചിദാനന്ദരൂപായ വിശ്വോൽപത്യാദിഹേതവേ താപത്രയ വിനാശായ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ വയം നുമ യം പ്രവ്രജന്തം അനുഭേദമഭേദകൃത്യം ദ്വൈപായനോ വിരഹകാതരമജുഹവ പുത്രേദിതന്മൈതയത്തരവോഭിനേതു തം സർവഭൂതഹൃദയം മുനിമാനതോസ്മി യസ്വാനുഭാവമഖില ശ്രുതിസാരമേകം അധ്യാത്മദീപം അതിഥിതീർഷതാം തമോന്ധം സംസാരിണാം കരുണയാഹ പുരാണഗുഹ്യം തം വ്യാസസൂനുമുപയാമി ഗുരും മുനീനാം നാരായണം നമസ്കൃത്യ നരം ചൈവ നരോത്തമം ദേവീം സരസ്വതീം വ്യാസം തദോ ജയമുദീരയേ കമനീയ കിശോരമുഗ്ധമൂർത്തേ കളവേണൂക്കുണിതാദൃദാനനേന്ദോ മമ വാചി വിജൃംഭതാം മുരാരേ മധുരീം ന കണികാപി കാപി കാപി നമാം വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലെ ശ്രീമതീ ഭക്തിവേദാന്തസ്വാമിൻ ഇതി നാമിനേ നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതി ദേവീം ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണി നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യ ദേശധാരിണി ശ്രീമൽ ഗുരുചരണാരവിന്ദാഭ്യാം നമ വന്ദേ നന്ദവ്രജ സ്ത്രീണാം പാദരേണുമഭീഷ്ണശ യാസാം ഹരികതോദ്ഗീതം പുനാദീ ഭുവനത്രയം ഗോപീചരണാരവിന്ദ പരമാണവേ നമ പീതാംബരം കരവിരാജിതചക്രശംഖം കൗമോദഗീ സരസിജം കരുണാസമുദ്രം രാധാസഹായമതിസുന്ദരമന്ദഹാസം വാതാലയേശമനിശം ഹൃദി ഭാവയാമി കോമളം കൂജയൻ വേണം ശ്യാമളോയം കുമാരക വേദവേദ്യപരം ബ്രഹ്മ വാസദാം പുരതോ മമ മോഹം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലംഘയതേ ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ നമ ശ്രീമതി രാധികായേ നമ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദനാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ ഓം പാർത്ഥായ പ്രതിബോധിതാം ഭഗവതാം നാരായണേന സ്വയം വ്യാസേന ഗ്രഥിതാം പുരാണമുനിനാം മധ്യേ മഹാഭാരതം അദ്വൈതാമൃതവർഷിണീം ഭഗവതീം അഷ്ടാദശാധ്യായിനീം അംബത്വാം അനുസന്ധദാമി ഭഗവദ്ഗീതേ ഭവദ്വേഷിണീം നമോസ്തു തേ വ്യാസവിശാലബുദ്ധേ ഫുല്ലാരവിന്ദായതപത്രനേത്ര യേന ത്വയാ ഭാരതതൈലപൂർണ പ്രജ്വാലിതോ ജ്ഞാനമയ പ്രദീപാം പ്രപന്നപാരിജാതായ തോത്രവേത്രൈകവാണയേ ജ്ഞാനമുദ്രായ കൃഷ്ണായ ഗീതാമൃതദുഹേ നമാം സർവോപനിഷദോ ഗാവോ ദുഗ്ധാ ഗോപാലനന്ദന പാർത്ഥോ വത്സ സുധീർഭോക്താ ദുഗ്ധം ഗീതാമൃതം മഹൻ വസുദേവസുതം ദേവം കംസചാണൂരമർദനം ദേവകീ പരമാനന്ദം കൃഷ്ണം വന്ദേ ജഗദ്ഗുരും ഭീഷ്മദ്രോണതട ജയദ്രത ജല ഗാന്ധാരനീലോൽപല ശല്യഗ്രാഹവതീ കൃപേണ വഹനി കർണേന വേലാകുലാം അശ്വത്ഥാമാവികർണഘോരമകര ദുര്യോധനാവർത്തിനി സോത്തീർണ ഖലു പാണ്ഡവൈരണനദി കൈവർത്തക കേശവാം പാരാശര്യവജസ്സരോജമലം ഗീതാർത്ഥഗന്ധോൽക്കടം നാനാഖ്യാനക കേസരം ഹരികഥാ സംബോധനാഭോധിതം ലോകേ സജ്ജനഷൽപദൈരഹരഹ പ്രേപീയമാനം മുദാ ഭൂയാദ് ഭാരതമംഗജക്കലിമല പ്രധ്വംസിന ശ്രേയസേ മൂകം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലംഘയതേ ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം യം ബ്രഹ്മാവരുണേന്ദ്രരുദ്രമരുതസ്ത്വന്വന്തി ദിവ്യൈസ്തവൈർ വേദൈ സാംഗപദൈ ക്രമോപനിഷദൈർ ഗായന്തി യം സാമഗാഃ ധ്യാനാവസ്ഥിത തദ്ഗതേന മനസാ പശ്യന്തി യം യോഗിനോ യസ്യാന്തം ന വിദുസുരാസുരഗണൈ ദേവായ തസ്മൈ നമഃ Yesterday, in the 10th chapter, these four verses, we started discussing them, and we have seen that the first one yesterday, we talked about it, isn't it? Which is the 8th verse, where Krishna says to Arjuna, Aham sarvasya prabhavo matta sarvam pravartade idi matva bhajande imam budha bhava samanvidaha. That's the verse we have seen yesterday, isn't it? So Krishna says, where is that aham? Aham is that awareness inside, from the source where everything comes. That source is aham. Aham, as you know very well, that aham is the ahamasmi, ahamasmi. As Krishna mentions in the Bhagavatam also, that aham, what we are experiencing, every one of us in our awareness, it is the Antaryami source who is present, the super soul as we call it, who is present inside everyone and from whom this emanation is happening. Which one? The awareness is coming from there. That does not come from the mind. It comes from the soul. That's the most important thing. Sarvasya prabhavo matta sarvam pravartate. Krishna says that സർവസ്യ ജഗതഃ പ്രഭവഃ ഉൽപ്പത്തി മത്ത ഏവ സ്ഥിതി നാശക്രിയ ഫലം ഉപഭോഗലക്ഷണം. ദാറ്റ് ഈസ് ഹൗ ഇറ്റ് ഈസ് മെൻഷൻഡ് ഇൻ ദി ഭാഷ്യം. ഇറ്റ് സേസ് സ്ഥിതി ഉൽപ്പത്തി സ്ഥിതി നാശം. ദാറ്റ് മീൻസ് ഇറ്റ് ഈസ് ഫ്രം ദിസ് അവയർനെസ് എവറിഥിങ് ഈസ് ബോൺ. ഇറ്റ് ഈസ് ഇൻ ദി അവയർനെസ് എവറിഥിങ് ഈസ് സസ്റ്റെയിൻഡ്. ഇറ്റ് ഈസ് ഇൻ ദി അവയർനെസ് എവറിഥിങ് ഫൈനലി ഡിസോൾവ്സ്, വിച്ച് വി ഹാവ് ഡിസ്കസ്ഡ് യെസ്റ്റർഡേ ഇൻ ഡീറ്റെയിൽ. ഹൗ ദ മൈൻഡ് വെൻ വി വേക്ക് അപ്പ് ഇൻ ദ മോർണിംഗ് വിത്ത് ദ മൈൻഡ് ദ വേൾഡ് ഓപ്പൺസ് അപ്പ് ആൻഡ് ഇവൻച്വലി വെൻ ദ മൈൻഡ് ക്ലോസ് ഇറ്റ് ഡൗൺ ദ വേൾഡ് ആൾസോ ഈസ് ക്ലോസ് ഡൗൺ. Isn't it? And you go back to the Sushupti state, you can see there is no sthiti, there is no ulpati, there is no layam, nothing happens there. Only what remains in the deep sleep state is that the happiness or the anandam. Krishna refers that jagada prabha ulpati mateva sthiti nasha kriya phalova bhoga lakshanam. And we have also seen matha sarvam pravartade. What does sarvam pravartade mean? Sarvam pravartade means that in the morning when the mind wakes up, with the opening up of the mind, the world opens up to us. And that is our relationship with the world begins with that, with the opening up of the mind. If the mind is not there, there is no connection with the world, isn't it? You can see yourself. I mean, when we wake up in the morning, awareness, from the awareness, we are shifted directly from a state of deep sleep into the vacant state. And when we come from that deep sleep to the vacant state, we are in two different worlds. In the deep sleep state, experiencing the blissful nature of the soul, where we were there, and that happiness we enjoyed without the body, mind, intelligence, ego, senses, and the world, an extreme happy situation. From there, directly transported into the waking state, where we come in, and immediately all this transactions, vivaharam, or the worldly business all starts, and we run around everywhere thinking that we have a lot of things to do here, isn't it? So Krishna has given, the Vedantam says to us that compare these two states, deep sleep and the vacant state, and see the difference, what's going on. So we look, and idimatva bhajande imam buddha bhava samanyuta. Krishna mentions also there that knowing this situation, what is happening with all of us from the deep sleep state to the vacant state, Krishna also mentions there, knowing very well, bhajanam has to start. From there, the understanding that this awareness is the source from everyone, everything comes from that. That understanding is important because buddha bhava samanyuta. Krishna says that that avagata paramartha tattvaha bhava samanyutaha. Bhavaha bhavana paramartha tattvam abhinivesha tene samanyutaha samyutaha ityartha. So one who knows this tattvam, which tattvam, this verse, what it has spoken, they focus on the truth rather than on the world. They withdraw themselves from the world and focus on the truth. What is the truth? Is that awareness, isn't it? That awareness is the truth. World is not the truth. Because it is deeply rooted inside us that the world is the truth. And because our mind has gone into the world to a very high extent, we find that very difficult. Everything what Krishna has spoken becomes very abstract to us. When you start reading from Bhagavad Gita or all these verses, often people find that very difficult to relate with. The reason for that is our mind has gone too far into the world. And not because the mind is not able to come back to its source where it's coming from, and therefore we are experiencing this difficulty. That is the problem with all of us. It is not Krishna's fault. Krishna is saying to us so many things in the Bhagavad Gita, but we find that very hard to connect with it. And that is the difficulty what Krishna is going to explain in the next few verses. So yesterday we have seen all that, and Krishna mentioned there in the coming back how this verse, what Krishna has spoken here, how that is a how that is a reality, how to make that a reality. That is what he was telling us yesterday, that one who knows this in tattvam, tattvajnanam, one who has got that, and he will never lose that again. And he mentioned there that it will remain forever with him, that verse. Once he has woken up to that situation. Once he has woken up to that situation. So, the, yes, so the principle Krishna mentioned there, that the Antaryami inside, who is present in everyone, he independently acts from there, completely independent, never controlled by anybody, independence of the Antaryami. And that is why when cultivating bhakti, Krishna mentions there, what is bhakti? Bhakti is this relationship with the Antaryami is the bhakti. What's our relationship with Antaryami is the bhakti. As I mentioned yesterday also, that in the 12th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna talked about the bhakti yogam, at that time, he has completely kept the worship, deity worship, not as an important aspect of the bhakti process. Mainly because Krishna sees that the bhakti process is mainly related to this aham sarvasya prabhavo mata sarvam pravartade. And even when he refers to a pure devotee status, he mentions in the Bhagavadam, he says there that sarva bhudeshu yapashet bhagavad bhavam almana. That is the first class devotee's position. Although deity worship is a part of the bhakti process, Krishna didn't give a lot of importance to it, to that aspect, knowing very well that as a special feature, he didn't explain that. Rather, he mentions that devotee worship in particular form. In the Bhagavadam also, it is like that. If you look in the Ekadasha Skandam, you will see there, only one chapter, Krishna talks about what is referred to as Kriya Yogam. The deity worship is called as Kriya Yogam. In that Kriya Yogam chapter is the only place where Krishna talks about deity worship in the whole of Ekadasha Skandam. Mainly because he wants us to get the message properly that this principle, Aham Sarvasya Prabho Mata Sarvam Pravartade Idimatva Bhajandema Buddha Bhava Samanyuga. This principle of this verse is that till we realize Krishna's presence in other living entities and able to connect with the Antaryami in everyone, our spiritual life is doomed. It's not going to go very far. This is the important point. That Krishna is saying to us that in every living being, in every living entity, there is Antaryami. Krishna is there inside as Antaryami. Connection with that Antaryami is more important than all our deity worship. This is bhakti. That is bhakti. The deity worship is only to help us to come to this understanding. Otherwise, what is the change in us? That is the question, isn't it? The change is this, that when we see Krishna's presence in other living beings, and arhaya dhanamanabhyam maitreya abhinyana chakshusha, Kavala Vasudeva also mentions that in the Kapilam, in the with Devahudi Devi. He says to her that arhaya dhanamanabhyam, in every living being seeing Krishna's presence, recognizing that, and do what is necessary to please the Antaryami who is present within that living entity. That is Krishna consciousness. That is Krishna consciousness. To recognize Krishna present as Antaryami in every living being and to do what is necessary to please that Antaryami inside that person, that is bhakti. That is bhakti. That we have somehow gone off the track and start thinking that all the deity worship I am doing, all the other things we are doing considers to be the all activities in spiritual life, whether it is Radhayatra, Harinam, whether it is deity worship, doesn't matter what it is. Ultimately, if it's not happening inside us here, that's all not getting to the point. It doesn't get to the point. They are activities to create this situation inside us. The goal is this finally, that the Antaryami inside in every living being is Krishna's presence. Able to recognize that and able to relate with that in this way, like Kapila Vasudeva says there. Everywhere in the Bhagavatam you will see there, Niravaksham munim shantam nurvairam samadarshinam anubrajamyaham nityam uyeye tyangrirenubhi. Krishna is saying this. He says, those devotees who are in that state, who niravaksham munim shantam nurvairam samadarshanam Such devotees, Krishna says, I follow them. So, in other words, Krishna's recognition of a devotee is like that. That's a devotee Krishna wants to see. Not someone else who has done a lot, but otherwise this change, what has happened, is more important. So, in order to get to that state, Krishna mentions to us what is the process. And that was the next verse. Machita madgada prana bodhayanda parasparam kathayandaschamam nityam tushyanti charamanti cha. We saw that verse yesterday. Machita malgada prana bodhayanda parasparam kathayandaschamam nityam tushyanti charamanti cha. Krishna saying that kathayandaschamam nityam tushyanti cha ramanti cha, isn't it? So thoughts of my pure devotees dwell in me, their lives are surrendered to me, and they derive great satisfaction and bliss enlightening one another and conversing about me. That's how the word says. Machitta malgada prana bodhayanta parasparam kathayandaschamam nityam tushyanti cha ramanti cha. So let's understand this verse. Krishna says, first thing, machitta. What does machitta mean? Machitta means satsangam. That is malchittam. Those people, those who are having this malchittam, they are people who have recognized me present inside the heart. Chitta means the heart. Here it means heart. So my presence, Krishna says, my presence in the heart is recognized first. And living in that state all the time is the only truth for them. As far as those devotees who are in that state, for them always to be absorbed in the truth who is present inside the heart as awareness, Krishna's presence inside, and to stay remaining in that state is the only truth for them. Madgada prana, Krishna says, madgada prana means that that their life is centered around this truth. What is that truth? Truth is Krishna's presence inside the heart. That's the most important truth for them. They're always conscious of that. Krishna is present inside. Always present inside. And situated like that, bodhayanda parasparam. Krishna says like that, isn't it? So what is this bodhayanda parasparam means? Bodhayanda parasparam means that in the satsangam, able to hear and able to relish that, speaking about that awareness inside, hearing about that awareness inside, that is what is called bodhanam. Bodhayanta means bodhanam. Bodhanam means from one consciousness it goes to another consciousness. That is the difference. That is why that word bodhanam is used. It's not from mind to mind, it's from consciousness to the other person's consciousness. In other words, from bodham to another bodham. We all are bodham inside, isn't it? Awareness means bodham. So bodham, from one consciousness, it flows into another consciousness. And not from the one mind to another mind. And one mind to another mind. In other words, one mind is not giving to another mind. Instead, consciousness to consciousness. Consciousness to consciousness. That's what is that word referring to. Bodhayanda parasparam, Krishna is saying. Krishna could have used the other word, isn't it? That it is being referred from mind to mind or from mouth to mouth. Anyway, it could have spoken different ways, isn't it? From mouth to another person's ears. No, he said bodham to bodham. Specifically uses the word there, bodham. From awareness to awareness. That shows that value of that, the verse, what referring to. Machitta madgada prana bodhayanda parasparam. It is from bodham that spiritual knowledge gets transmitted to another bodham, not to the mind. mind, intelligence, all this has no value there. They are our, because we keep always say this, isn't it? I'm not this body, I'm not this mind, I'm not this intelligence, I'm not the ego. Everything is from bodham to bodham, consciousness to consciousness. In other words, from one living force, Chaitanyam, to another Chaitanyam. From Chaitanyam to another Chaitanyam. Or from one heart to another person's heart. The Hrit Deshe Arjuna Trishtadi. That Hrit to another Hrit. In between there is nothing there. There is nothing in between. There is no time, there is no space in this transmission. There is no time, there is no space in there. So that best bodhanam is that, that means highly realized souls, from there you will see this. That bodhanam, bodhayanda parasparam. Because actually in Vedantam that is how it comes. How will it come? Because a great personality, a realized soul with great devotion and fully in realized state in that experience while he is speaking, if you go and sit next to him, you will experience that he is not seeing you as an ignorant person. And he does not see you as a jiva, he does not see you as a false ego, or he does not see anything in you except the pure consciousness in you. That is when you are with a personality who is a highly realized soul. And at that time, because when he speaks from his state in the present, in his situated, in his platform as the soul, and from that state, even if he looks at someone, it can have a direct impact on the person who is in close affinity with him. So, and it is possible that there are examples of that in the history, that very, very realized personalities in their association, even by any of their senses, interacting with you in any way, it will wake up the transcendental knowledge inside us. It will wake up the transcendental knowledge inside us. The knowledge is already there. It doesn't have to come from outside. So that is the process. And this can also happen, like in the case you can see Shuga Brahmarshi and Parikshit in the Bhagavadam. That also is the same situation. That he kept talking about Srimad Bhagavatam, and finally when Shuka Brahmarshi knew that the time has come for Parikshit to go, immediately he told him, Parikshit, now all you have to know is this. All what you have heard before, you can leave it. Aham Brahma Param Dhamma Brahmaham Paramam Padam Evam Samichan Altmanam Altmanyathaya Nishkale, he says there, isn't it? So all he told him, he told Parikshit, realize this now, and he spoke these words, Aham Brahma Param Dhamma, where he mentioned to Parikshit that you are Brahmam, and that got fixed in his consciousness. After that, Parikshit did not come back to the body again. Although living within that body, still there in the body, but he didn't come back to the body again. He stayed in that state of consciousness. So, but the difficulty is here, that when somebody is not realized and he is speaking, there will be always the ahangaram or abhimanam in the words. And similarly, the speaker as well as the listener, when he is in communication or when they are communicating each other, that it is difficult that this knowledge to wake up. So when it is completely gone away, that means the speaker is realized and the listener has no ego inside, and he is also free from all effects of Maya or the modes of nature. In such a situation, when this transmission happens, that is called bodhanam. This word bodhanam refers to that. It's not an ordinary thing. Only a highly realized soul, in whose presence, if you are present with him, and when he speaks the truth from his realizations, and if you are a matured personality to hear, the transmission will happen directly from his consciousness to your consciousness. And that is what is called this word bodhanam. consciousness to consciousness. Why in our case this doesn't happen? Because both of us have got the problems. Both of us have got the problem, therefore it doesn't happen. So Krishna is saying here, but at least we should understand the principle, what Krishna is saying. Principle is like that. Machitta, Malgada Prana, Bodhayanda Parasparam. That mutual bodhanam, that means the realized person, he has to be realized, otherwise it wouldn't happen. Realized, and if he is highly realized, even without speaking, by his very close association, even by he, if he looks at the person, the transmission can happen. That is why in the Vedic tradition there are different ways of initiation. There are different ways of initiation. Initiation is that, actually taking the person and holding him back to the truth, holding, bringing him to the, towards the truth. So that is why this is, as far as the Jnanamargam is concerned. So as long as there is the false ego or pride in the person, then that vastu will not work. Then that vastu will not work. So only in the absence of this false ego, only in the absence of the pride in the speaker as well as the listener, this bodhanam will happen. Bodhanam will happen. Otherwise bodhanam is not possible. That's why Krishna says, machitta malgada prana bodhayanda parasparam. Machitta, mai chittam, yeshante machitaha. Malgada prana, madgada, mam gadaha prapta, chachuradaya prana, yeshante malgada prana. Mai ubasamhrata karanam ityartham, adava madgada pranam, adgada jivanam iti etat. Bodhayandaha, bodhayanda, avagamayanda, parasparam, anyonyam kathayando, jnana bala viryadi dharma vishishtam, mam tushyandicha, paritosham upayandi. So bodhayandam, bodhanam means that from consciousness to consciousness it has to get transmitted. So bodhayanda parasparam, this is in the process of jnanamargam. This is how it works in the bhakti process. If you take, you will see how Krishna explains that in the 11th canto. That there also the same thing comes. If you look into Ekadasha Skandam, in the third chapter, there is two verses. Krishna mentions there, Parasparanu Kathanam Pavanam Bhagavad Yashas, verse 30 and 31. Parasparanu Kathanam Pavanam Bhagavad Yashas, Mithoradir Midhastushtir Nivirtir Mithamal Manam, Smaranda Smarayandascha Mitho akaugaharam harim bhaktya sanjadaya bhaktya vibratyut pulagam tanum. These two verses. Krishna says, Parasparanu kathanam pavanam bhagavad yashas. In the bhakti process, parasparanu kathanam. Talking to each other about this truth, about Krishna. And mitho akaugaharam harim. In that way, all sinful activities our sinful reactions are eliminated. Mithau khaukaharam harim. Then what else? Bhaktya sanjadaya bhaktya vibratyut pulagam tanyum. Krishna says, bhaktya sanjadaya bhaktya. From bhakti develops bhakti. From bhakti develops bhakti. In other words, talking about Krishna's transcendental activities, Krishna's mercy, Krishna's love for the devotees, and everything, when it is discussed, it develops naturally this divine nature in the among the people, among those who are hearing and talking about it, in both, as the speaker as well as the listener, in both of them, that divine nature develops, divine, Devi Sampatta, it is called Devi Sampatta. So that develops in a person, and this can happen. Krishna says here, Smaranda smarayandascha mitha akhogaharam harim bhaktya sanjadaya bhaktya vibratyut pulagam tanyum. Vibratyut pulagam tanyum. Krishna says in that state, it can even happen from the others who are in our close proximity. Close proximity, it can come through them also. So somehow or the other, this like this knowledge of the soul, Brahmajnanam or Brahmavidya, Krishna says that it also permeates, it also infects others. It also infects others. For example, just like when we catch cold, the virus or bacteria, that comes in to us, isn't it? We have not invited the bacteria, but it comes. It infects us. Without asking us, it comes in, isn't it? When we catch cold, the bacteria, it doesn't say, excuse me, can I come in? It comes in, isn't it, without even asking. So in a similar way, it's just a physical proximity with a person who has caught cold. If you stay closer to him, it's possible that you will catch the cold. So in the same way, physical thing it is. That's a physical thing. And Krishna is saying, this bhakti jnanam, it is more powerful than that, it's much more pervasive. It can easily, there is an energy in the bhakti and jnanam which is pervasive into, and it will get in. It will get in due to the association. It will get transferred very easily. That's why. So therefore, with bhakti and with proper realization and happiness, if one has spoken about Krishna, and that is, and Krishna's mercy, and what will happen is, it will get transmitted from one heart to another heart. That is why it says here, Bhagavadam, Krishna is using the word smarandam smarayandascha. Smaranda smarayandascha, Krishna says here, isn't it? Smaranda smarayandascha. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna mentions, machitta malgada prana bodhayanda parasparam kathayandascha mam nityam tushyanti cha ramanti cha. In the Bhagavadam, Krishna, Sukabrahmashi is saying there, that smaranda smarayandascha mito akhaugaharam harim. Akhaugaharam harim. Bhaktya sanchadaya bhaktya. From bhakti develops bhakti, he says there. So, normal, the process is that continuously remembering remembrance of Krishna and making others to remember about Krishna. This is that smarandam smarayandascha. What the speaker has to remember about Krishna and speaker has to make others to remember about Krishna. That is that thing. Smarandam smarayandascha, Krishna says there. Then what is the result? Akhaugaham harim. Akhaugaharam harim. Hari's nature. What is Krishna's nature? You can see here the negative vasanas inside. That is what it is. Akhaugaharam means we have so many negative vasanas inside us. What are they? Lust, anger, greed, and so many other things like that. They will all go from inside, Krishna says. And utpulagam. Vibrat utpulagam tanum. And the result was that those devotees, they live in that state, in this state what Krishna has mentioned in the Bhagavadam, where he says, kathayandascha, that tushyandija ramanticha, in the Bhagavad Gita, when it came to Bhagavadam, Shobramarshi says, vibrat utpulagam tanum. That's what that is. That they are experiencing transcendental happiness inside, transcendental happiness inside by talking about Krishna and by hearing about Krishna. Krishna's glories, Krishna's words, Krishna's instructions and Krishna's transcendental activities, all these are topics of discussion for devotees, isn't it? So when that is discussed, the impact of that in a person is this. That's what that verse is saying. Machitta malgada prana bodhayanda parasparam kathayandaschamam nityam tushyanti cha ramanti cha. Tushyanti cha ramanti cha. And in the Bhagavadam, smaranda smarayandascha mita akhaugaharam harim bhaktya sanjadaya bhaktya vibratyut pulagam tanum. These are the words. This is the word what was spoken by Prabuddha. Prabuddha spoke these verses in the Bhagavadam. Prabuddha means, the word itself is one who has woken up. Prabuddha. One who has woken up, he is called Prabuddha. So the question was, what was the question? The king Nimi asked this question, how to cross over Maya, how to escape from Maya.
And the answer, Prabuddha says, Prabuddha means one who has woken up, he says that the parasparanu kathanam pavanam bhagavati yashas, always absorbed in satsangam, always hearing, all that way you can keep maya away. That's the only way you can do that, he says. Simplest way is to keep the maya away is always parasparanu kathanam. What Krishna is saying here in the Bhagavad Gita also, isn't it? Machita, malgada prana, bodhayanda parasparam. Constantly in satsangam, that is the solution to the problem. There is no other solution. If you do not want to get infected with the world, with maya, and if you want to get infected with Krishna, then the solution to the problem is satsangam. Always in satsangam. 24 hours to listen and hear and talk about Krishna. That is the process. That is the process they are given. Machita malgada prana bodhayanda parasparam kathayanda chamam nityam tushyanti charamanti cham. Keeping always absorb the mind in Krishna and talking about Krishna bodhanam kathayanda cham and tushyanti charamanti cham. You will see here that one interesting thing. Understand that word tushyanti and ramanti. What does that mean? Two things are spoken there, isn't it? Tushyanti cha, ramanti cha. He says here, enlightening one another and conversing about me. That's how it's right. But there is a little bit more to it than that. Tushyanti cha, ramanti cha. What is the difference is, in the Bhashyam says, bodhayanda avagamayanda parasparam anyonyam kathayando jnanam balam viryadi dharmaihi Vishishtam mam tushyanticha paritosham ubayandi ramanticha retimcha prapnuvandi priyasangatya iva. In other words, before going to satsangam, you feel a happiness inside. Before going for that, a happiness inside. I'm going to hear about Krishna. That happiness, why? Because somewhere inside, Antaryami has given an inspiration to hear. And something must have happened inside that someone is feeling the desire to hear Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam. And that anandam, prior to coming to satsangam, which is generated inside from Antaryami, that is called tushti. The two words there, tushyanti cha, ramanti cha, word says there, isn't it? Tushyanti cha means that happiness prior to coming to satsangam. That, I got another opportunity to hear about Krishna. I got something valuable. When you start valuing Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, only then you will feel it. That is Krishna's kripa. If one gets it, that's his good fortune. To recognize the knowledge of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam and feeling some great happiness inside that I've got something much more valuable in this world than anything else, and to give value to Bhagavad Gita or to Bhagavatam, and feeling that happiness inside that this Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam is guiding me in my life and taking me in the right place to the right direction. So that conviction inside and that realization inside, because that will only come when you have made some contact with Bhagavad Gita. At some point it will happen to different people at different times. Some point in time it will happen to everyone. But when that happens, then when you go to satsangam, prior to that you feel a happiness. Isn't it? When you have understood the value of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, and when you start appreciating Bhagavad Gita's knowledge and Bhagavatam's knowledge, and you feel that there is something which I can take shelter in this world, which will satisfy my needs inside. I need something. I'm looking for something. Everybody is looking for something in this world. That's why we are all wandering around everywhere, isn't it? What is this wandering around all about? It's that something is missing there. And that missing thing is there in the Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, what Krishna has given to Uddhava and to Arjuna. So when from inside that desire is building up and at the same time some link is established with the with Krishna's words in the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. So even prior to going to the satsangam, before even hearing Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam, you feeling a happiness, certain happiness inside. That is that tushyanti means. Tushyanti means that tosham. From that word comes tushyanti. So that means one who has got some taste for spiritual life. That's the first thing. You have to get a taste for spiritual life. Only then tushyanti will be there. You know what I'm saying? That tushyanti means one who has got some taste for spiritual life. Most of the people, sometimes people don't have a taste for spiritual life. They'll come, they will hear, and they will evaluate Bhagavad Gita, they will evaluate Krishna, they will evaluate the speaker, what he has spoken, and they will make some comments and they may go. That's another thing. But those who have really got some taste for spiritual life, they have a different way of reading with Bhagavad Gita. They have already accepted. Krishna's words are absolute. The knowledge what Krishna has given to us is absolute. That's the only knowledge in this world. If you have started recognizing inside, and this process of spiritual life, one who has got a taste for that, for him, that is what is called a tushti. That tushti is that. You know when they capture this peacocks, how they capture them? When the peacock comes, first thing what they do, they give a little bit of ganja to the peacock. That's how they capture them, because it's difficult otherwise. They give the ganja to the peacock, and the next day, at the same time, peacock will come there. I'm shaking this ganja. Peacock will come there. It always happens. They do that. They know that, how to... You know. So similarly, Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam is like that, like something that stimulates our inside, the soul, what it is looking for, and consciousness, it wants that from outside. It wants that. When it gets it, it feels that, need to have it more. So next day again you want to hear Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. Because it is, actually Krishna says here, one who has got that bhakti, taste of bhakti, or taste of the experience of the soul, realization of the self, to some degree, it will, even if he gets it a very little bit of that, in course of time, like a tonic, it will start working inside. It will start working inside. Then afterwards, you don't have to again invite that person. He will come in a natural way, because it is the greatest drug. This Krishna consciousness is the most powerful drug. If it gets in, and somebody gets a little bit of that, a taste of this drug, then it is very difficult to move away from that. Away from that. So, all the other drugs in this world, they will pull us into material life, isn't it? All other kinds of drugs, what we use in our material life, that will take us into the topics in the material world, energizing drugs. But if this drug called Krishna consciousness, if it gets inside, then it is very difficult for him to stay quiet. It's very difficult for him to stay quiet. So, and that after this process of taking to Krishna consciousness, Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, and your taste is developing inside, and in due course of time, you will know that something is going to happen. Something is going to happen at some point in time in our life. And very difficult to say, because there are other factors also involved in that. So, but as much as we are hearing Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, with that, this tushti will start getting better inside. Tushti. That's what Krishna is using, that word toshanam. From that word comes tushti. So that tosham, when it builds up inside, he knows very well that he is, from Andaryami inside, will tell him that you are going in the right direction. You're going in the right direction. All these things happen inside. We are not aware of that. We don't look at it because we don't have any way of knowing that. But people who have realized the truth, they are telling us that this is how it operates, how it works. As much as when we start hearing Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, and when you start experiencing the truth, how Krishna has presented to us, with full of logic and reasoning, isn't it? It's not something he has told us given you so many instructions, just follow this. No. He spoke to us that in the Sushupti state, you are leaving your body, you are leaving your mind, you are leaving your intelligence, you are leaving your ego, you are losing everything, you are losing the world, man, woman, all identities you are losing, and you are going to the Sushupti state and you are experiencing the greatest happiness. Is there a better proof than that? Who else is going to tell us that? And that is why Krishna says that machita malgada prana bodhayanda parasparam. Bodhanam means all these things. That talking about the knowledge what Krishna has given to us and analyzing that in deeper level and finding that truth is always very nice to hear when you hear the truth. So that is why Krishna says here that at some point in time, he starts recognizing that I want to realize that truth, what Krishna has spoken. It builds up very strongly inside. And that is what is, when he knows about this, that is called tushti. Tushti. Tushti is prior to salsangam. In other words, some taste has developed in the person in spiritual life. That's what tushti is called. So, normally, material life, we have happiness after we have got it, isn't it? We work hard, struggle hard to get something. After getting it, you feel happy about it, that you got it what you wanted. But here, in spiritual life, before getting it, there is a happiness. Before there is a happiness. So, after getting it, so the happiness that you get prior to that is called tushti. The happiness you get after you have realized it is called anandam. Brahmanandam, or Krishna says here, isn't it? So, or there's also another word, in the Bhagavatam is Rati. Rati is the word used. So, and that anandam in the realizing the self, in the Upanishad they call it as Almarati. Almarati. Rati, that is coming from the soul. Being in identifying with the soul. That is called Atmaradi. So, so such personalities who have realized this truth, or highly advanced and realized personalities, in their presence also you will receive this tushti. Tushti also comes from them also. So only for a short period of time, only when you are in their association, you will have it. They give the example like this, that in old lakes or tanks, old lakes or tanks, which is not used, lot of plants will grow in that. And it is difficult to bathe because it's completely covered, water is covered with different plants and algae. And everything, it covers the whole tank, isn't it? If it is unused. If the tank is used, then the algae, everything will not grow. But if it is unused, the algae will grow in there. Plants will grow, lotus and so many things will grow, and you can't even see the water, it's completely covered with the plants. If you want to bathe in the tank, generally what people do, they'll go inside and remove the plants to some place close. Water is clean, there's no problem with the water. But you have to remove the plant to some area if you want to immerse yourself in the water. So what they'll do, they'll remove the plant to a small area where they want to bathe. And they will immerse themselves a few times in the water, wash themselves, and they'll come out. So although temporarily the plants have gone away, the algae has moved away, as soon as you come out of the tank, it will come back again. It'll come back again. You can see this in the villages where they bathe in the tanks. This will always happen. So in other words, this tosham is like that. Tushyanti charamanti cha, Krishna says. Tosham is like that. You get a glimpse of spiritual life. You get a glimpse of that. No matter how much you deny about that you are not able to understand You are not able to realize the truth. There is something inside everyone telling them there is truth in the Bhagavad Gita. You can't deny that. Because after all, everybody who has lived in this world for some period of time knows that there is not much of a truth in anything what goes on here. It's only when you read Krishna's Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam that you start recognizing there is a truth behind it. There's a truth behind it. Many, many people who had come to spiritual life, initially they felt very frustrated in their inquiry, that they're not getting anywhere, they're going from one person to another, one yogi to another yogi, one mahatma to another mahatma, one jnani to another jnani, trying to find somewhere they want to find the truth. They're not getting it. So initially that will be the same. But in Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, that if you come to contact with Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, sometime you will get some connection with that, these two great literature, Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. That is why it says here that once you get that glimpse of that from the Bhagavad Gita, so the only thing is that in order to experience that, we all have at different levels the experience of Bhagavad Gita in some form or the other, isn't it? And to get a powerful force to come up inside, it has to be with a source who is permanently situated in that state. Only then it will happen. That means, suppose you have got contact with a self-realized soul who is always in that platform, in their association, when you come into contact with that person, then naturally that Atma Rati, what Krishna calls it as Rati, that Atma Rati, that means that person should be in that state, Atma Rati. In the Upanishads, how they put it is Atma Kredaha, Atma Mithunaha, Atma Anandaha, Tushyanti Cha Ramanti Cha, in the Upanishad statement. In other words, the person, if he is fully realized, Atma Kredaha, he is playing in the soul, in that consciousness. He is playing in that consciousness. Atma Ratihi, Atma Anandaha. Rati, attachment for the soul is so intense in him, and the bliss from the soul is experienced by him. Atma Anandaha. So one who has got completely that Atma Anandam, Atma Rati, they will be absorbed in that. And one who has got a little bit of that, very small degree, that is called Tushti or Tosham, what Krishna mentions there, Tosham. So Tosham is that we are all in that category. There is something all of us have tasted from Bhagavad Gita. Something in the Bhagavad Gita has given some taste to us. So therefore we are willing to sit, listen, talk about it and hear about it, isn't it? That is what is called Tosham. And Krishna says here that that person, one who has come to that state where he is absorbed in Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam all the time and always inquisitive to hear about that and enjoying that Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita and feeling that great happiness from there, he will keep on coming to the Salsangam without break. He will not give up Salsangam. That will be his nature. If you haven't got the taste, then you will go. You will not be able to stay. That is the difficulty. Some people have great difficulty because they will find that the taste hasn't come. A little bit of taste in spiritual life is necessary. Otherwise, it's very hard to push on with it. You can't do it with your mind. It's not the mind that keeps it going, because mind has got this problem. Mind, it will throw you out. You go, that's the nature of the mind. Sankalpa vikalpam. Once on sankalpam you make it, another vikalpam will come and take the sankalpam away. That's the nature of the mind. Whereas this tushti, what Krishna is saying here, is that a force from inside, because a little bit of influence, impact it had on the consciousness. And that consciousness from inside is dictating to go for satsangam, to hear Bhagavad Gita. That means you have started valuing Bhagavad Gita above everything else. Otherwise you don't want to waste a few hours of your weekend to sit and listen to Bhagavad Gita, isn't it? So that means inside there is a recognition there. That is what is called tushti. തോഷം. തുഷ്യന്തി ച രമന്തി ച, കൃഷ്ണ സേസ്. ദിസ് വേർഡ്സ് ഹവ് ഗോട്ട് വെരി expanded meaning to all this, otherwise Krishna wouldn't have used such words there. In order to mention that word tushyanti cha ramanti cha means that there is some feeling inside for Bhagavad Gita, there is some feeling for Srimad Bhagavatam, that is already there, that is what is giving us that strength to keep on hearing Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. And that if you ask a question, what is that, you can't explain that what it is. But there is some conviction inside that there is this knowledge what Krishna has given to this world is above everything else. You couldn't find it in the university, you couldn't find it in the college, you couldn't find it elsewhere. Because it answers what the soul is looking for. Soul is hankering after something, some fulfillment inside. It's not getting it anywhere. It's trying with everything in the matter, experimenting with the matter, experimenting with various things in this world, with various kinds of knowledge, but it's always frustration at the end. But the knowledge of the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, if you are fortunate enough, and that is called Krishna's Kripa, mercy, that giving that taste to us for spiritual life, to enjoy spiritual life in this way, and once that little, very little taste has developed, then Krishna is saying, tushyanti cha. Tushyanti. Then that person is tushyanti here. So normally in all other anushtanam, anushtanam means our normal sadhana in our life, you may fix up a time for a couple of hours to chant the holy name or to engage in deity worship or many other things. But it's possible that it can turn out to be like a forcefully you have to do it. You have to be very determined to do that. Otherwise, after a while, you can lose that habit, isn't it? You can lose that habit. But when it is done, it should not become like a work, like a job. It shouldn't become like a job. So therefore, Krishna says that this salsangam has got this effect. Machitta Malgada Prana Bodhayanda Parasparam, which is a little different than when you are doing chanting the holy name or when you are engaged in the deity worship. Because in all those situations, the mind is not able to easily absorb in it. Whereas in this satsangam, Krishna is saying, the mind gets more absorbed than anything else. Krishna. Because Krishna has spoken Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam for this purpose. Machita malgada prana bodhayanda parasparam kathayandaschamam nityam tushyanti cha ramanti cha. Krishna saying that when this satsangam becomes very powerful, then it will quickly take a person to a yoga state. In other words, that continuously sometimes people listens to Bhagavatam from morning to night, days together. And there are people even today who continuously hear Srimad Bhagavatam from morning to night. And then they may have a short break and they'll inquire where else is Bhagavatam spoken. And they go to that place to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. So therefore, because they know how to value Bhagavatam. They have already got that taste of the satsangam. So, if one gets it, Krishna is saying, tushyanti cha ramanti cha, tushyanti cha ramanti cha. That means he is feeling that happiness inside and he is enjoying it. So in the Yoga Vasishtam, Vasishtha Maharshi says to Ramachandra that you should not go to a place where there is no satsangam. He puts it like that to him. He says here that Yoga Vasishtha says here, no matter how big that place is, how important it is, where there is no rishis, no sages, nor jnanis, no realized souls, or those who are greatly absorbed in the spiritual life, that in those places all other influences will come very strongly, and one should not go there, says Ramchandra to Vasishtha. Yasmin deshedi tattva jnana nasti sajjanaha, he says, sabhala gita uchayo Na divasam vaseti. You should not even stay there for one night, he says. Not for a day, you should stay in such a place. So, important thing is continuously to get satsangam. That is the most important thing. So, if you get it, what is the result of that? Satsangam is not going to bring anything new. What it does is, it keeps on reminding you about the vastu inside. That's what it does. Only in satsangam you will hear about the soul, isn't it? Only in the satsangam we will discuss about Krishna as Antaryami inside. In the temples also, sometimes you will not discuss about Krishna as Antaryami there. You will discuss about Krishna as the deity, deity's dress, deity's clothes, deity's offering. Those things you will discuss. But only in satsangam you will discuss Krishna properly as Antaryami inside. And that is what is called that bodhanam. Bodhanam means that. So what does mean? That bodham, awareness inside of all of us, making that in the form of knowledge. Jnana rupam. That means to give that awareness inside to transmit that awareness to another awareness through the transcendental knowledge. Transform it as knowledge. To transform that awareness as knowledge and transmitting that, that is what Krishna is, what is done through the Mahavakyams in the Upanishads. Tattvamasi, Aham Atman Brahma, Prajnanam Brahma, Aham Brahmasmi, all these things. So Tattvamasyadi Mahavakyam. Tattvamasi, and beginning with Tattvamasi, all other Mahavakyam, they are called Mahavakyams. What it does is, this awareness inside, it is transmitted to another person through this Mahavakyam, through these words. Through these words it is transmitted. So, in other words, awareness is converted into the form of knowledge. Jnana rupam. It is given a form of knowledge. It is awareness inside, but it is transformed in the form of knowledge and communicated to the other person. So, it happens in silence or and Bhakti Margam in a different way. Whichever way it is, for at least for some time, to remain in this world without ego, that is satsangam. At least for a short period of time. Normally, always we are in the state of ego, isn't it? Me, I am, jumping up and down. That's what we are, our normal life in this world. But at least for a short period of time, at least in the satsangam, that awareness of me, or I am, which is the ego part of it, that is forgotten there. And that is what is satsangam. So you can see here that sometimes when you can experience this also in life, one who is very proud and ego, one who has you will know that texture of the person when he comes closer to you, isn't it? Only when that ego is away from a person, the person becomes very sweet. He becomes very sweet. So how will that ego go? It has to keep melting from inside. Ego is that jiva, ahanda, isn't it? Jiva, ahanda inside. So everything like a gold, you have to melt it and make it melt finally. Similarly, this thing also inside, ahangaram, ahanda inside also, it has to melt. So that is what, that ego, one whose ego is melted, it is that person, what we say in the spiritual language, you call it, is a ripened fruit. A person is fully ripe, one who has completely lost that ego inside. And the happiness, and such a person, when he comes closer to you, you feel happiness from that, isn't it? You feel happiness from that. So, many great spiritual personalities have spoken about this. Very advanced people, very, very advanced, who have fully realized and who, out of Krishna's mercy alone, they lived in this world for the benefit of others. What they have done, what they have spoken, is that they used to say that they'll know as soon as a person walks in his state of ego, how strong the ego inside that person is. And when he comes closer, they'll say that he know where he is, in what stage he is. Just like they say, for them, just like when you walk through in front of the sweet shops, they kept the ladoo, jalebi and rasgulla and gulab jamun, everything in the sweet boxes, isn't it? Why they put in the glass boxes? So that, why did they do that? They could have kept it somewhere else, isn't it? No. They display it through the glass boxes. So that when you see it from inside, somebody will tell you, buy it. That's the reason why it is in the glass house. You are not tasting it though, you are only seeing it, isn't it? So that's what, similarly, and you know when you are outside, even if you have not tasted it, what is inside you know. Isn't it? Just by seeing the laddu, seeing the jalebi and rasagula and others, you know what is inside there. Similarly, Krishna says here that the realized soul will look at us and he knows what is inside us. So clearly they'll know all the vasanas inside, the person's state of consciousness. He will be able to talk about this. So, and he also knows that how matured, how ripened he is, all these things they can work it out. And they know that, and that matured state, pakvam state, is a great happiness for them to see. So, and the realized souls also, you will notice one thing, along with them there will be a few other people always present with them. They both need each other. What purpose? Those who are following him, they want to go up in spiritual life. They want to go up in spiritual life. And they want a proper atmosphere for that. That is why they are staying around him, staying around that person. And just like if you want to build a temple, you need to know a proper place for it, isn't it? That is normally when they build the temples, first they investigate a lot about the history of the place. Some places where great sages have performed penances or great devotees have lived. Places like that. That is more conducive for constructing famous temples. All famous temples have a what they call as thalapuranam. The history of the place is important for that. And that is how they build the temples there. So similarly, for performing penances, there are places, selected places, isn't it? Just like Parikshit Maharaj, when he was cursed to die by bitten by Takshaka, he was in Hastinapur. He decided not to stay in Hastinapur. What did he say? I'll go to Ganga River. I want to stay near the Ganga River. I wanted to give up my body there. Similarly, all the so that shows the importance of the place there. Similarly, all the sages, when they felt that the necessity to go to a place where they want to hear Srimad Bhagavatam, they all decided to go to Naimisharanyam. Isn't it? So Naimisharanyam, Brahma says to the sages that you perform your sacrifice there, lasting thousands of years, and there Suta Goswami will come and speak Srimad Bhagavatam. Go there and you can hear Srimad Bhagavatam there. So place has an importance. Place has an importance. It's like Naimisharanyam has an importance because that is where Suta Goswami spoke Srimad Bhagavatam to Shaunaka Rishi and others. And where where Parikshit Maharaj heard Srimad Bhagavatam from Shuka Brahma Rishi, that place is separated from Hastinapur. It's a place called Shukasthali, where it was spoken. So why did that? Because they know that place has an importance. So similarly, no doubt, in the case of a realized soul, they are all equal for him. For him, there is no difference. But in the sadhana stage, these things does matter. In the sadhana stage, it does matter. But once you come to this state, there is no difference between Vrindavanam and Haridwar or Mayapur and Dwaraka. All these differences will disappear after realization. After realization. For him, everything has come to the state of Sarvakalidam Brahmam. That Brahmam realization has happened. But till that happened, just like you can was mention that in the case of great realized personalities, there will be always people with them. There will always be people with them. Just like they give the example, like in the atom, there is the nucleus, and then there's the electrons, protons, neutrons, everything wandering around that in circumambulating that. Similarly, in the surface they are rotating, isn't it? It's like a charge. And the center is there, So similarly, here also you can see that the nucleus is the realized personality, and that is an indication that he will have a influence on the people who are around him. So similarly, this Devi Sambhata means this divine nature, what Krishna talks about here, that is always very close to the Satyavastu. Satyavastu means to the absolute truth, to the absolute truth. Once one who has got this Devi Sambhata, we will talk about that later. It comes in the Bhagavad Gita as divine nature and demonic nature. One has got the divine nature, what are the qualities related to that? Willingness to sacrifice things, control of the mind and senses, truthfulness, and a peaceful existence. These are all the nature of that person. And freedom from false ego, abhimana rahityam, amanitam, and what we say in English, unassuming, isn't it? You say this word, unassuming. It's very unassuming, we say. So similarly, if we, if you lose your, we have, at the moment inside, we have a grip of the personality. If that personality goes away from inside, then you will fall into that uninterrupted spiritual reality. Not using some words, but to explain that is difficult, because personality, if the personality is very strong, it will separate us from the truth. The more we become freedom from that ego inside, what is known as Shastram, they call it as Akhandada. Akhandada means that unbroken consciousness, pure consciousness, we will reach that state very easily. Everything, sadhana and other things, are only to take away that ego from within. So, still the personality has a grip on us. No matter whatever philosophy you learn, the localized self will not go. This localized self means this ego inside. That is called localized self. In the Jnana Margam, they use the word Ekadeshiya Satta. Ekadeshiya Satta means that no matter how hard you try, I am still important. That situation in us. Very difficult to come out of it, isn't it? Because why is it like that? Because years and years, I was functioning centered around this I, false ego. And therefore, it has become very deep-rooted inside. And I find very difficult to break up from that. Break up from that personality. That is what is called a personality. Personality is nothing but this ego inside. I am something, I am important, I am so many, I am this, I am that. So all that, it is centered around that ahangaram, it is built. Centered around the false ego, we have created this personality. Personality centered around the false ego. To break that connection with the false ego means personality disappears straight away. And when the personality's grip, if you come out of it, from the grip of that personality, then you have escaped. Even though you may have studied a lot of philosophy, a lot of people have this difficulty, everyone has this difficulty, but some people will have more difficulty. If you observe people, you will see this. Some people, they have studied Shastram well. They have studied Shastram very well. And they have reflected on that very well. They have reflected on it very well. But they are having this problem. Personality is disturbing them inside. They want to become easy with things. In other words, that this localized thing, because of the, I'm just talking about this, in some devotees you will notice this, very relaxed nature, isn't it? Very relaxed nature, unassuming, very easy going about things. How does that happen? That happens, that happens because they are escaped from the grip of this personality. If you have escaped from the grip of the personality, it is possible to come to that. Even though you may have studied Shastram, you may have reflected, executed sadhana and everything, still to free yourself from the grip of this personality takes time. And that is what is called Ekadeshiya Satta. In Jnana Margam, they address it like that. So this problem is more in jnana margam than in bhakti margam. In bhakti process it is easier, because in the jnana the reason for that is, in jnana margam the difficulty is that jnanam is always individual, isn't it? It is an individual thing. One has to develop that jnanam through individual way. In the bhakti process it's always together, is it not? Bhakti process is always together. In bhakti process, relationship is important with other devotees. With other devotees, relationship is important. In bhakti, it is never alone. Bhakti is never alone. Everyone mutually respects, and also mutually they have to give up their ego, and without any pride, fully surrendered state, one devotee has to offer respects to the other devotee, and the other devotee has to offer respects to this devotee. In mutually surrendering to each other and always in a loving relationship. That is only in bhakti process. That is bhakti process. In the jnana margam, everything is individual. Alone, alone, alone. Jnana margam makes a person perfect one stage. It makes him perfect. And bhakti margam, what it does is, even if he engages in vyavaharam, it protects his jnanam, protects his knowledge. That is what the bhakti process does. So you can't say that I can only follow one, I can't follow the other. Both are necessary. Both are necessary. Jnana margam makes a person perfect because of the realization from the jnanam, from the soul, knowledge of the soul. Bhakti margam, what it does is, even when he is engaged in vyavaharam, transactions in this world, that it will still protect him from not losing that knowledge or realization. In other words, as much as jnanam bhakti develops in a person, both in his individually as well as in collectively with others, he will still be able to remain in a transcendental state. Transcendental state. That is the important thing. That is why in Bhagavatam, what does it say? Bhagavatam says like this. Bhakti jnana viragartham. These three things are always together. They are not separate. No time it is separate. Vairagyam is there. Vairagyam strengthens the jnanam. Strengthens the jnanam. Vairagyam strengthens the jnanam. And vairagyam, without vairagyam, if you develop knowledge, that also won't help. That also won't help. Bhakti, bhakti saves a person. That even in the middle of vyavaharam, this knowledge of the jnana margam will protect him, will give him strength. So even when comes to the plane of vyavaharam, transactions in this world, in his solitude, if he was fixed in that vastu, vastu means that soul in spiritual life, and he will start seeing in the bhakti, through the bhakti process, he will start seeing the presence of that vastu in all other living entities. And you will start realizing there is no speciality in me. There is no speciality in me. So what does that jnani realizes? Jnani also realizes that I have nothing speciality here. Jnanam has only done one thing to him, that I have not achieved anything new. What remains is Atma. Only what remains is the soul. That's what jnanam strengthens, that realization. Almai Vedam Sarvam. And everyone, what the jnanis know that is that those who are outside, when they see a realized soul, for him, his jnanam or self-realization will be an amazing thing for him. For those who are outside, when they see that. Because as far as he is concerned, the person, the jnani realized soul, for him, his realization is a normal state for him. It will be a normal state of existence for him. But he also knows one thing, because he is realized, he knows others are also the same vastu what he is made of. What he is made of. Actually, it's a paradox, isn't it? That for others, those who are not ordinary conditioned souls in this world, For them, when they see a jnani, they think that he is an amazing thing. Why is he like that? But for the jnani, when he sees them, he is seeing them as they are similar to him. There is no difference between him and them. A realized soul, when they see others, he sees no difference between him and them. Why? Because he is seeing this Krishna's presence in them as well. That's all what he is seeing there. But seeing the state of jnani, the conditioned soul thinks different. Conditioned soul is thinking, why is he like this? So different from us. In various ways. Because of the jnanam, bhakti, vairagyam in that person, the ordinary person sees this as very amazing, an amazing thing, isn't it? So, when the realized soul, from his state, when he is speaking, and if you hear that in a state of bhakti from him, that is what is called ramanticha. Tushyanticha, ramanticha. So you have seen the difference between tushyanticha and ramanticha. In one sentence, if you look at it, if you see, look, just look at the translation of that, it says that they derive great satisfaction and bliss, enlightening one another and conversing about me. Their lives are surrendered to me, and they derive tushyanti, are pleased, ramanti, enjoy transcendental bliss. That's the translation here, isn't it? Tushyanti means are pleased, and ramanti means enjoy transcendental bliss. This is how it happens. That is the most important thing to know. That from a realized person and an ordinary person who has no spiritual realization, when they come into contact with each other, the realized soul sees the ordinary person same as him, no difference at all, because of his spiritual realization. He sees that Krishna who is within his heart is the same Krishna who is within the heart of that other person also. But the other person, when he sees the jnani, he thinks different. He thinks there is something different about him than me. He thinks about him like that. This difference will always be there. So, Krishna is saying here that this tushyanticha ramanticha, that bhakta, the devotee, or the new person who has come into contact with the jnani, he feels tosham, and the person who is realized, he feels rati. Do you see the difference there? Tushyanticha ramanticha. Tosham is for that person because he has come into contact with the realized soul or the great mahatma or jnani or a devotee, great devotee, pure devotee. Because he has come into contact with this pure devotee, he feels tosham, tushyanti. And this great soul who is seeing Krishna's presence in all living entities, who has no differences, which we discussed before, samyak darshanam. One who has come to that stage, he is in the stage of ramanti. That is the important thing. It's very important to know these things. Why Krishna has used those words in the Bhagavad Gita. It has much more transcendental background to that words. It is not just that, oh, they are all talking to each other and feeling everybody is feeling happiness. No, that's not what it means. It means more than that. Because of the transcendental situated realized personality, pure devotee, because he is in the stage of rati, when he is in contact with an ordinary person, the ordinary person experiences what is known as tosham or tushyanti because of the influence from the realized person. Realized person experiences rati. That is what this verse is all about. Machitta. And it will only, that person is machitta. Always his chittam is fixed in Krishna. Always in the soul. Malgada prana. This is all prior to that. The person who is jnani or a pure devotee or a realized soul or mahatma, whoever we want to call it, the spiritually realized personality, he is machitta, madgada prana. And when he is in contact with an ordinary person, bodhayanda parasparam, from his consciousness, this transcendental knowledge gets transmitted into the other person. And what happens? Kathayandaschamam nityam tushyanti cha ramanti cha. In their association, what will happen is that when they discuss each other something, one feels tosham and other one feels rati. That is how that verse you have to see. And this is important. This verse, machita, like last words we saw, aham sarvasya prabhavo matta sarvam pravartade iti matva bhajandema buddha bhava samanvitaha. Krishna mentions in the last verse, isn't it? Preparing for this verse. Which one? Machita, malgada prana, bodhayanda parasparam, kathayandaschamam nityam tushyanti charamanti cha. So, in what stage this tushyanti cha ramanti cha, that is what Krishna is saying to us. But prior to that, aham sarvasya prabhavo mata sarvam pravartate, one has to take that into account. It is only in that state all these things will happen. We should not generalize these verses. Generalizing means, suppose a few people have sat together and somebody is having a kirtan and we are all sitting and listening. We shouldn't take it that their bodhayanda parasparam is happening. It's not happening there. This can only happen when what Krishna spoke in the last verse, which one? Aham sarvasya prabhavo matta sarvam pravartade idhimatva. He must have come to that state first. Idhimatva bhajande imam buddha bhava samanida. Such a person must be there first. A person in that state first. And in his association, what is his nature? Machita malgada prana. That person is machita malgada prana. We should not generalize this, that any group of people sat together and made a kirtan, that immediately all bodhayanda parasparam and all happened. No, it may not happen. It may not happen. It happens only in this state that a person is a realized soul who has in that aham sarvasya prabho mata sarvam pravartade idhimatva bhajandema mudha bhava samanyutaha. That state plus machitta malgada prana. That is the most important thing. Machittam, madgada prana. Both. And when he is in association with the conditioned souls, bodhayanda parasparam. If a transmission takes place there, from bodham to another bodham. Not from one's mind to another mind. One from consciousness to consciousness. When that happens, kathayandaschamam nityam, that when they speak about Krishna, at that time, tushyanti cha ramanti cha, tosham will happen to the ordinary person and rati will happen to the realized soul. That is how that verse comes. And that is why you will see in the Bhashyam also mentions this, that yea, yathokta prakare bhajandema bhakta sandaha. That means that bodhayanda avagamayanda parasparam anyonyam kathayando jnana bala viryadi dharma vishishtam mam tushyanti cha. So that is what that verse is saying. And such a person, when such people, those who have discussed in these last two verses, when they execute their bhajana or their spiritual life, in other words, what happens to them? That is the next verse. Verse 10. Tesham satada yuktanam bhajadam priti purvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam yenamam upayantite. Tesham satada yuktanam bhajadam priti purvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam yena mam upayantite. Tesham satada yuktanam bhajadam priti purvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam yena mam upayantite. Krishna is saying that let us read the translation. Tesham satada yuktanam bhajadam priti purvakam dadami buddhiyogantam yenamam upayantide. Those who are constantly devoted and worship me with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. You will see there, in the purport, if you look, you will see that the third paragraph, Krishna says, the Prabhupada mentions there, a person may have a bona fide spiritual master. Am I reading the right translation?
Yeah.
And may be attached to a spiritual organization. But still, if he is not intelligent enough to make progress, then Krishna from within gives him instructions so that he may ultimately come to him without difficulty. See? So, you may have a bona fide spiritual master, you may be attached to a spiritual organization, but it's not guaranteed that you're going to make it. Somehow or the other, this illusion has got into your head that if I am attached to a spiritual master, I'm initiating a spiritual organization, everything has been taken care of. No, not necessarily. Krishna Prabhupada also mentions here, if he is not intelligent enough to make the progress. So, in other words, he has to know that he has to progress spiritually, first thing. He has to know that. But if he is thinking that, oh, because I am in the organization or I am with somebody's disciple, everything will happen. It won't happen. It's not going to happen. That's the point. That's what Prabhupada is saying there. If he's not intelligent enough to make that progress, that it is on your in our hands, each one of us. And then Krishna from within give him instructions so that he may ultimately come to him without difficulty, which means that he has to know the instructions has to come from the Antaryami. There is no other way it's going to come. It has to come from the Antaryami. That's what it's saying here. That so that he can come to him without difficulty. So that he can come to him without difficulty. Isn't it? So this understanding, we will get it deeper when you study these verses. Krishna says here, Tesham satada yuktanam, he says, Nityabhi yuktanam nivrtam sarva bahya ishananam bhajadam sevamananam kim arthitvadinam karanena na iti aha priti purvagam priti sneha talpurvagam mam bhajadam ityartaha dadami prayachami buddhi yogam buddhihi samyak darshanam mat tattva vishayam tena yogo buddhi yogatam buddhi yogam tena buddhi yogena samyak darshana lakshanena mam parameshwaram atma bhudam atmatvena upayandi pratipadyande. So this verse is in the background of the other two verses. Which one? Aham sarvasya prabhavo matha sarvam pravartade idi matva bhajande ma buddha bhava samanyuda. The verse number 8. And then we have seen the verse 9. Machita malgada prana bhodayanda parasparam. Krishna is saying, if you have gone through those two, and if it has happened like this, a devotee has come and he continuously kept hearing about Krishna from Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. Wherever Krishna has been spoken about, he heard about it. When we refer to about Krishna, means hearing about Krishna. That's what it means. You are hearing about Krishna from Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Upanishads and Brahma Sutram and many other things associated, Bhagavatam, Ramayanam, everywhere. Where when we discuss about Krishna, we understand in detail, depth about Krishna. That is what is more important, as the soul present inside. So a devotee, he is hearing everything from Upanishads and Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita and everything. And he is enjoying it, seeing that truth behind all this, what is spoken. So suppose there is a lamp there is that's burning there, and it has got one wick in that, and you are going to light that lamp. There's one wick, a single lamp with one wick, you're going to light that. You lighted the matchbox and you're putting the matchbox to the matchstick to it to light the fire. Sometimes it catches the fire, sometimes it takes a while, isn't it? Suppose there is a lamp already burning there, and if you bring another wick and to light it from this burning one, it's easier. That you will notice it only in the when there is wind or there is some when the weather is a little bit cooler. In the hot weather, matchstick, if you light it and burn the wick, it will catch the fire. But sometimes the wick is a little bit wet, or the matchbox is also not very dry, in which case when you light it, sometimes two or three times you have to light before the wick catches the fire, isn't it? But suppose there is a lamp already burning with a wick which is burning very nicely, and if you want to make another wick for another lamp, all you have to do is to bring that wick and put it into this wick which is already burning, and take it and put it back into the next lamp. It will catch fire, it will burn very easily, isn't it? So that means one which has already got the fire burning, from there to get fire into the next one is easier. That is what Krishna is saying here. Machita malgada prana bodhayanta parasparam, Krishna says here that one of them is burning. If you bring another person closer to this person who is burning, he will catch fire very easily. Whereas if everything is dull, and if you want to light a fire there, it takes time. Do you see that point? That if one lamp is burning well, then if you bring another lamp, you want to light that lamp you can light easily from the lamp which is already burning. Which is already burning. Provided this lamp should be burning. Only then it will catch fire. So Krishna, that is what this machitam malgada prana means. Machitam madgada prana bodhayanda parasparam. Then it will work. Now see the importance of that verse. Only machita malgada prana, from him this transmission must happen bodhayanda parasparam. You can't put everybody together in one box and say that it will all happen. It won't happen. It will only happen when one lamp is burning and you can bring another lamp and light another lamp. As many lamps as you want, you can keep lighting. You can lighten the lamp with this. You can carry the fire from the burning lamp easily to the others. Whereas if you have one lamp which is not burning, it will take a while to catch the fire in one. So Krishna says here, so because that person is always machittaha mal pranaha, machitta malgada prana, and if it is like that, he is in that state, that is the person Krishna is saying in these words, tesham satata yuktanam. Satata yuktanam, satata means always in that state. Tesham satata yuktanam, and what else? Bhajadam priti purvakam, and to be continuously in that state, and always while situated in that state, thinking about it and talking about it and continuously always reflecting on that. This is all necessary in that person. That person always should talk about it, think about it and reflect on this. Only in that state stays, he will be in that state. And then he is always situated in that state with priyam, able to release that, show that love for others. That priyam is coming from that soul, from within the heart. In that state, tesham priyam for Krishna also is strong inside, but he has deep attachment for Krishna inside. Tesham satata yuktanam bhajadam priti purvagam. Bhajadam priti purvagam means that tesham satata yuktanam bhajadam priti purvagam. Bhajadam priti purvagam means that always he is in that state and he is completely absorbed in that state. He will never move away from that 24 hours in all conditions. Then if he is situated in that, then Krishna says here, now here important thing, we study for the examinations in the school and college, isn't it? We study. And while studying itself, we'll be cursing. What I have to study all this for? So many things. We have to study like that. And you start thinking, what is my destiny that I have to go through all these things? And that's not like that. Not in that way. If you take to Krishna consciousness, oh, I have to do this, I have to chant all these rounds. I have to do all this deity worship. And I have to hear Bhagavatam. What is this all this going to be? Not in that way. That is not Bhajadam Pridhi Purvagam. School examinations, it's okay. That's fine. Nobody will say anything. But bhakti, you should not execute in that way. When is this going to come to an end? If you start thinking like that. That's not bhakti. That's why Krishna puts that word Pridhi Purvagam. Pridhi should be there. Bhavam should be there. That means Krishna is saying that that person who is in that tesham satata yuktanam, and if you, someone comes into contact with that person, bhajadam priti purvam, his execution of bhakti is with priyam, with love. So then what happens? In that state, if he is short of something, he doesn't know which way to go, what he has to do, dadami buddhi yogam. Buddhi yogam dadami. Because in this case, if there is a center which is burning, everything else will also burn. Everything else will also burn. This buddhi yogam, what does buddhi yogam mean? I don't know, many people have different understanding about this word, buddhi yogam. Buddhi yogam means that that extreme subtle power in a person, extreme subtle power in a person for the capacity to know about the soul, to know the soul. That is called buddhi yogam. We have misunderstood something about buddhi yogam. We are saying that, oh Prabhu, even if there is anything wrong, Krishna says he'll give me the intelligence to come back to me. So what does it mean? It means buddhi yoga means, the very word itself is to tell us that generally buddhi yoga is this, that you have got that subtlety in you to know about the soul. That is a subtle capacity. It's not the intelligence of the scientists or the intelligence of the intellectuals, in other words. This buddhi yogam is not the intelligence of the intellectuals or the scientists. This buddhi yogam, you have to remember the definition of buddhi, what we spoke about before, isn't it? Few verses before, you remember, we talk about buddhi. What does buddhi mean? Buddhi jnanam asam moham, fourth verse. There we have seen buddhi. Very clearly we talked about that. Buddhi andakaranasya sushmartham avabhodana samartyam tadandam tadvandam buddhimanhi idhi vadandi. Ajari Swamiji's bhashyam on that. That buddhi andakaranasya sushmartham avabhodana samartyam. That means something spoken about spiritual topics, able to capture it in a very subtle level and not creating more doubts inside about it. You have to capture that message about the... Similarly, this buddhi yogam itself, we have understood in a different way. We are thinking that, oh Prabhu, if I don't have the brain, Krishna will give me the extra brain what I need for that. This is how we tend to interpret it. Because of our material conditioning, we tend to think like that, isn't it? Krishna doesn't do anything in spiritual life. What happens is, everything from inside, Antaryami conducts the business. So this buddhi also has to come from Antaryami. As the definition mentions there, what it says, buddhi, andakaranasya. It is in the andakaranam. Andakaranam means inside the subtle body. Sushma artha avabhodana samarthyam. That sushma artham. So many things are spoken. Krishna has spoken so many things in the Bhagavad Gita, isn't it? But there is a sushmam side of it, very subtle side of it. Sushma artham it is called, not the gross side, the sushma artham. That sushma artham avabhodhana samarthyam, to grasp that cleverness, that is called buddhi. That's called buddhi. Bhagavad Gita is not so simple as we think about it. It's not a book which is given to us like a do's and don'ts. It's not. Because why? If you look into Bhagavad Gita's Ubodghadam, the first introduction to Bhagavad Gita, what does it say? Samasta Vedam Artham Saram Sangraha Bhutam. That is how it is called. Samasta Vedartha Sara Sangraha Bhutam. You will see in the Ubodghadam, Acharya Swami mentions there that this Bhagavad Gita Durvijnayartham, most difficult thing to understand. He calls it like this. One who has studied all other Vedic literature, when his introduction comes to Bhagavad Gita, he says that in the Ubodghadam it is called, it says here, Tadidam Gita Shastram, this Shastram of Bhagavad Gita, Samasta Vedartha Sara Sangraha Bhutam Durvijnayartham. That is how he introduces Bhagavad Gita to us. He says here that Gita Shastram, this Bhagavad Gita, is Samasta Veda Artha Sara Sangraha Bhutam. That means, Samasta means all Vedic literature. All the Vedic literature. You take the meaning of all that, Artham. Samasta Vedam Artham, you take that. And you take the essence of that, Saram. From that Artham, you take the Saram. And you condense that, Sangraham. And that is Bhagavad Gita. That is Bhagavad Gita. And then he says, because it is like that, the knowledge of Brahma Sutram, knowledge of Upanishads, knowledge of all Ramayanam, Mahabharatam, Bhagavatam, and all the other Puranam, everything brought together and squeezed out of that the extract of that, and again that extract condensed in a way, because it was spoken in the battlefield, it was condensed. And that condensed form is this Bhagavad Gita. And therefore he says, Durvijnayartham, not very easy to get the message easily. It's not easy. We know that. Bhagavad Gita, how difficult it is. So many things in the Bhagavad Gita, it is very, very, very difficult to understand. We make it very simple, but it is not so simple. That is the important point. So, therefore, because it was spoken by the Absolute Truth, Krishna, Supreme Personality, Krishna himself has spoken this. And it was spoken by the Supreme Personality, and at the same time it was written down in this form by a person who knows everything. Who knows everything? Who is that? Vedavyasa Maharshi. Isn't it? It was spoken by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna himself, and he has written down in this format what has been given to us. Krishna didn't write it down. Vedavyasa Maharshi wrote it down for us. Why? Vedavyasa Maharshi understood everything because he is Sarvajnaha. He is Sarvajnaha, isn't it? It is Vedavyasa Maharshi, we are all indebted to him. We are all indebted to him, isn't it? If Vedavyasa Maharshi has not given this to us, both Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam and Srimad Bhagavatam, he has given to us. And it is through him that this Bhagavad Gita has come to this world. So that power which has spoken, and the same power has written it down through Vedavyas. The same power has written it down through Vedavyas to us. So that is why Acharya says here that it is not a simple thing. Gita Shastram. Gita Shastram Samasta Vedam Artham Saram Sangraha Bhutam Durvijnayartham, he says. Durvijnayartham. So after saying all this, we saw here that therefore, here when it comes to buddhi, buddhi yogam we are discussing now. Buddhi means that andhakaranasya sushma artha avabhodana samarthyam tadvandam buddhiman idhi vadandi. So buddhi means that when one has got that subtlety, able to capture that subtlety of what Krishna has spoken, that is called buddhi. That is called buddhi. therefore, Acharya Swami mentions in the Bhashyam, buddhihi samyak darshanam. That one who has got buddhi, that spiritual intelligence as we call it, If he has that buddhi, samyak darshanam will happen to him. If he has that. Samyak darshanam means that the presence of the Krishna's presence in all the living entities and seeing that equal vision, and that will be continuous, uninterrupted in him. And saying that, he says that at that stage, he will know about his real identity, In other words, as long as we are thinking, I am this body, I am this mind, I am this intelligence, I am this ego, then that means I don't have the buddhi, as far as Bhagavad Gita is concerned. You may be very intelligent in this world, you may have a lot of degrees and qualifications and so many other things, but if you are still thinking, I am this body, mind, intelligence, ego, that means there is no buddhi in that person. What is the symptom of a person who has got the buddhi? Nityam, Shuddham, Buddham, Mukta, Swarupam. That and Vastu, that is me. That's buddhi. So, Vastu, Kevalam, Chidvastu. Chidvastu, Chidshakti, in other words. Or, my existence is purely existence is awareness. Existence is awareness. And that awareness, the nature of that awareness is pure consciousness and always in a blissful state. And and this comes for continuously absorbing in satsangam. This is what leads to. If you constantly hear about this, at one point it has to happen. It has to happen. That is why Krishna is stressing on this point in the Bhagavatam also, that if there is a vastu like that, because what's happened now to us is that somehow or the other, our identification is with the body. And no matter a lot of thing is spoken, I'm not this body, I'm not this body, still I'm not going to realize my identity. Therefore, it has become necessary that what is my identity, that should be explained properly, isn't it? That is what is satsangam is all about, telling us that this bodily identity is not me, and then what is my identity. Simply saying I'm not this body is not going to, then the question will come, what am I then? Isn't it? So to explain that what I am, we require the strength of the Shastram, strength of the great sages, and only through them it can happen. So we'll have a short break and continue after that. So, Buddhi Yogam, that's what we were discussing, isn't it? Krishna says, in the Tesham, Tesham Satata Yuktanam Bhajadam Priti Purvagam Dadami Buddhi Yogam Tam Yenamam Upayandite. That's the words, isn't it? Krishna is saying, first, in that four verses, important verses in this 10th chapter, first talked about where it all starts. Where does it start? From aham, awareness, it begins. Aham sarvasya prabhavo, which we discussed yesterday in detail. So first that verse we should understand, aham sarvasya prabhavo, matta sarvam pravartade, idi matva bhajante imam buddha bhava samanyuta. That is a very good introduction to the remaining three verses. Then after that, a person in that way, who is in that state, Krishna is saying, what will be his nature? Machita malgada pranaha. And if another person comes into contact with him, what will happen is bodhayanda parasparam. He will communicate from his consciousness to the other person's consciousness. Bodhayanda parasparam. Then he mentioned, kathayandaschamam nityam tushyanti charamanti cha. He, the person who has come, he will be in the state of tushyanti, and the person who is speaking will be in the state of ramanti. So that is all important, how that spiritual transmission happens in that state. Then after that Krishna says, tesham, such a person, satata yuktanam bhajadam priti purvagam, one who is in that state of consciousness, if he, when he is executing Krishna consciousness, priti purvagam, dadami. Then if he is lacking anything, he will be given the right direction. We have seen that word buddhi before. Buddhi means that subtle capacity to understand when things are spoken in the, as I mentioned, andakaranasya sushma artham avabhodana samarthyam. You can't explain it better than that. Andakaranasya, andakarana means subtle body, sushma artham avabhodana samarthyam, he says. Sushma artham, that means Krishna, this Bhagavad Gita is full of sushma artham, full of subtlety this is. This Bhagavad Gita is full of subtlety it is. And that sushma artham avabhodhanam, able to grasp that. Whatever Krishna has spoken, avabhodhana, that capacity, that samarthyam or capacity is buddhi. So do not confuse this buddhi, what Krishna is saying here, with the intellectuals of this world or the scientists or big professors or whatever they are. They are not intelligence in these things. This is a peculiar plane when it is spoken, able to grasp that. That is that buddhi Krishna is talking about. Only in a peculiar plane it will work. It will work. It will work. That is, the requirement of that is what Krishna has spoken. In order that buddhi to develop in a person, first the ego has to give away from inside. Only then that buddhi will build up inside. Once the ego moves away, the buddhi naturally comes to that person. That's where this buddhi yoga works. Buddhi system. So that is why Krishna says there that our real swarupam is not body, isn't it? We have talked about so many times. I'm not this body. I'm not the mind. I'm not intelligence. I'm not the ego. I'm not the senses. None of these. But what's my nature? Nityam, eternal. Shuddham, pure. Buddham, fully conscious. Muktam, always liberated. That's my swarupam. My real swarupam identity is Nitya, Shuddha, Buddha, Mukta, swarupam. Eternal, pure. Why it's pure? Because none of these things, body, mind, intelligence, ego, the world outside, can pollute me. I'm pure. Shuddha, Buddham, always conscious, awareness inside. And Muktam, always liberated. That's my nature, isn't it? Nitya, Shuddha, Buddha, Mukta, swarupam. In Vedantam, that's the definition of us. So that vastu inside, which is chidvastu. Chidvastu means chit shakti, chit potency, in other words. That is what, and in the nature of that is chidvastu, to explain that soul, it's such a difficult thing. Chidvastu, and the swarupam of that is awareness. Swarupam of that vastu is awareness and bliss, anandam, isn't it? Bliss and awareness, which is our chit and anandam, satachita anandam. Chit is called that awareness, and anandam is anandam, bliss. And in salsangam, if you continuously hear about this soul in this way, in the way it is spoken in the Upanishadam, in the Upanishads, and in the way Krishna has spoken to Uddhava in the Ekadasha Skandam, and the way Krishna has spoken to Arjuna, these are the places where you find proper explanation of the soul. You won't find that in many other Puranams even. Puranam is more related to the events that has happened in the past. What has happened throughout the history of great devotees. Here and there you will find some explanation about the Tattvam. Tattvajnanam will be there. But mainly Tattvajnanam is Brahma Sutram, Upanishads, Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Ekadasha Skandam, Yoga Vasishtam, and places where specifically, like Ramachandra speaks to, Vasishtha speaks to Ramachandra, Krishna speaks to Arjuna, and situations like that, where purely discussion about the soul. So that is where, that is what it is referred to here, able to capture that, and in Salsangam, that is what is to be discussed, not simply telling stories. It shouldn't be like that. This should be discussed in the Salsangam. In the Bhagavatam, if you look, you will see there, when when Prajina Barhis, in the fourth canto of Bhagavadam, when Prajina Barhis was performing a lot of sacrifices, and Srinarada Maharshi one day came to see him. And seeing this pitiable condition of Prachina Barhis, who was very much attached to the Karmakandam side, he wanted to enlighten him. Krishna sent Narada Maharshi to him. And then Narada Maharshi spoke to Prachina Barhis what is known as Puranjana Ubakhyanam, Puranjana story in the Bhagavatam. It's five chapters there. In that Puranjana Ubakhyanam, through the story of Puranjana, Sri Narada Maharshi spoke to Prachina Barhis and pulled him out of this karma kandam and brought him to self-realization, made him aware of the importance of self-realization. Although great king Prachina Barhis he was, but he was completely absorbed in the karma kandam. He believed in that so strongly that he thought that by executing this karma kandam nicely, he will have a better life afterwards. But Narada Maharshi made him understand through Puranjana's story that what can happen to him after death if he does not realize the self in this world. And hearing this from Narada Maharshi, Prachina Barhis gave up everything, went to the forest, executed spiritual life under instructions from Narada Maharshi and went back to the spiritual world. Self realized the self, in other words. This happened to him. After that incident, you will see this Prachina Barhis children, who are known as Prachetas. These Prachetas, they had Prachetas had this great experience that they performed 10,000 years for penances underneath the water. Underneath the water, for 10,000 years they spent and executed penances. And it mentions here in the Bhagavatam, after seeing the Prachetas' unity among them and seeing their determination, Krishna appeared in front of them and spoke to them there. And in that discussion, Prachetas glorified them. At that time, Sri Bhagavan Vacha mentions here, Griheshu Avishadam Chapi, that is in the fourth canto, chapter 30, verse 19 and 20. Griheshu Avishadam Chapi, Pumsam Kushalakarmanam, Madhvartayadayamanam, Nabandaya Griha Mataha. Navurvadhudayayajyo brahmaidat brahmavadibi na muhyandi na shochandi na hrishyandi yato gadaha. There it is, Krishna says to Maitreya Maharshi, mentions this in the Bhagavadam. This is the Prachvitis discussion between Krishna and the Prachetas. Griheshu avishadam chabi kushalam pyumsam kushalakarmanam madvartayatayamanam na bandaya griha madaham na vyavardhadaye yajnyo brahmaitad brahmavadibi na muhyandi na shochandi na hrishyandi yato gadaha na hrishyandi yato gadaha. So here he says here that even if you are in the griheshu avishadam, even if you are in the householder life, just because one got into household life doesn't mean that there is no possibility of spiritual advancement. That's a misunderstanding. People take it that once you are in the household life, there is no opportunity for self-realization or spiritual advancement. That is the point Krishna is making it clear. Before he spoke to Prachetas, because Krishna says to Prachetas, you should marry this girl called Marisha, who is the daughter of the trees, as they are addressed here. So Marisha was married to Prachetas, and Prachetas were not interested in getting married. They wanted to leave the world, go to the forest and perform penances. But he says to him, there is no harm in getting married, provided griheshu avishadam chabi pumsam kushalakarmanam madvartayatayamanam nabandaya griham madaha. If even in the household life, if you are absorbed in spiritual life, then it is not a bondage, Krishna is saying. It's not a bondage. But problem comes that when you get into household life and you forget about Krishna, that is where the problem begins. That is what Krishna says there, that such a person, even if you are in the household life, suppose you involve in satsangam all the time, and take advantage of the satsangam, constantly talking about Krishna and absorbs in the Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Upanishads, Brahma Sutram, wherever you can find a trace of Krishna anywhere, and if you continuously talk about it, hear about that householder life or material existence will not have any effect on him. This is what Krishna says to Prachetas. So ashramam is not a impediment in spiritual realization. That's the point. Griheshu avishadam chapi pumsam kushala karmanam madvartaya dayamanam nabandhaya griha madaham navyavardhadaya yajyo brahmaidat brahmavadibi namuhyandi nashochandi nahrishyandi yado gadaham. So it says here, brahmavadibi, it says navyavardhadaya yajyo brahmaidat brahmavadibi. Brahmavadibi means one who is in the path of Brahman realization. Brahmavadis are saying here that Brahmavadis are saying here that they are in their heart, Brahman will shine. In their heart, Brahman will shine. The way Krishna says here to Prachetas says, he himself won't know about it, what's going to happen to him. Without his knowledge, from inside, from the Andaryami side, that realization will start pouring out from within. So then always normally we are in the platform of the mind, isn't it? Manomandalam, it is called Manomandalam. What is going through the mind, it may not have its effect at that time. Instead, what will happen is on the other side, while everything is happening in the mind, behind the scene, this shift will happen within. This shift will happen within. Because on the one side, you have got this world which you have to deal with. Then there is the body, mind, false ego. You are thinking that I have a lot to do in this world, I have a lot of responsibilities in this world, lot of activities in this world with which I am identifying a lot. Then I am identifying with my mind and the body, intelligence, everything. Suddenly what's happening to him, due to this power of the Salsangam and because of this constantly hearing about Krishna from the Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Upanishads and Brahma Sutram and other literature, because the process becomes so powerful that eventually the vastu inside himself will reveal to him, and his identity with the world, identity with the body, mind, everything goes away from him. That is what Krishna is saying to Prachetas. He says to them that inside, the one who was thinking all the time, I got all these problems of this world, I got problems with my body, mind, intelligence, ego, everything. Inside him, who is thinking all the time in that way, suddenly, next moment, what he comes to know is this, that this was because of the Salsangam. Krishna is saying this, that the vastu inside, which is Nitya, Shuddha, Buddha, Mukta, Swarupam, that nature of the vastu will start becoming powerful inside. That is the effect of Salsangam. What happens is that it is not knowledge acquiring process. Salsangam is not knowledge acquiring process. Constantly hearing from Bhagavad Gita, Srimad, Krishna's words about the soul, how Krishna has put it to us. After all, Krishna wanted Arjuna and Uddhava to realize the truth, isn't it? And keeping Arjuna and Uddhava in the front, Krishna has spoken about the truth. And the nature of the truth is knowledge, which is established in the Bhagavatam also. Vadandita tattvavidam tattvam yat jnanam. That is, knowledge is tattvam. Tattvam is knowledge. Advaya Jnanam, it is called. So that Advaya Jnanam is the nature of the soul. What Krishna has done, he has conveyed that because Supreme Personality Krishna is Absolute Truth is speaking, it gets directly transmitted to Uddhava and Arjuna, and through them what we see is both of them have realized the truth due to this hearing from Krishna. So Krishna is saying, in a similar way, if you continuously make Salsangam a priority, constantly hearing this, simply by hearing, without doing anything else, this powerful message of Krishna can penetrate through our ignorance. What is that ignorance? Identification with the world, body, mind, senses, ego, and everything. Although this may be operating in one level, behind the scene, suddenly one day, what will happen is this knowledge of the soul, which is in relationship with our pure identity, which is Nitya Shuddha Buddha Mukta Swarupam, that will start showing its potency from within. And that is all, it will happen. That's what he is saying here. Na vyavardhadaye yajnyo brahmaidat brahmavadivi. And what will happen? Na muhyandi, na shochandi, na hrishyandi, yato gadaha. What will happen to him is na muhyandi. That illusion of thinking about this world and the body very seriously, to which we have devote a lot of our time, isn't it? For the world as well as for the body and the mind and the intelligence and the ego, everything. All that is called illusion. That illusion, namuhyandi, it goes away from him. And then what else will happen? Up to that time, we are lamenting about so many things. Oh, I couldn't do this, I couldn't do that. I have got so many other things. All this kind of, this is lamentation. And Krishna is saying, when this navyavardhadaye yajnyo brahmaidat brahmavadivi, the Brahman realization, when it happens to him, this muhyandi, illusion leaves him, and na shochandi, lamentation goes away, na hrishyandi yato gadaha, that he will come to that state of happiness, that all other, that balance inside, harsham, harsham, amarsham, two things Krishna spoke in the 12th chapter, remember? Harsham, amarsham, bhayam, udvegam. If you remember about a devotee's quality, Krishna said in the 12th chapter, na hrishyan, harsham arsham bhaya udvagir muktaja samaya priya, muktaja samaya priya. Krishna says, isn't it in the 12th chapter, talking about a devotee's qualifications? 12th chapter. Harsha amarsha bhaya udvagir muktaya sachame priya. Krishna talked about who is very dear to him. In that verse does it come. Harsha amarsha bhaya udvage muktoya sachamaya priya. 15, is it? Yeah. Yasmanno dvijade logo, logano dvijade chaya, harsham amarsham bhayam udvegam. Four things. Harsham amarsham bhayam udvegam. Four things. Muktoya sachamaya priya. One who is free from this, four things. So, here that's what will happen to that person. Krishna is saying here, harsham and amarsham, both he gets released from that. So, here, one thing is that shift happens in within him. One who was thinking that he was this, he has a lot to do in this world, who has been identifying with the body, mind, ego, everything, he was thinking like that. I had to do all these things, all responsibilities on my shoulder. Next moment he comes to know that what he comes to know is this. What's that? I am Nitya Shuddha Buddha Mukta Swarupam. He realizes that. And then with that the world goes, the body goes. Body goes means no more, body is not worrying him anymore. Body is not causing any more anxiety in him. And everything leaves him at that time. So Krishna says here, that is all it is. He says, so in that situation he sees that whatever he has been seeing in this world is like another cinema that's been going on. The cinema comes to an end with that. Up to that time he is very, very serious about everything, isn't it? Till you realize the self, till this is happening. So all what he is seeing here is in this world is nothing but a lot of pictures. What you see in the film, that's all. So therefore he knows the truth. So therefore at that time that intelligence in that person becomes very powerful when he realizes that. That's when it becomes powerful. And that is what, at that point, his intelligence becomes his vibhuti. See that? What Krishna is saying there? Krishna is saying that when it comes to that state, and when he realizes that world is not the truth, body is not the truth, mind is not the truth, intelligence is not the truth, ego is not the truth, all this has happened with him, and from inside what the truth is has been revealed by the Antaryami's help. Antaryami reveals to him, and that is what is that, at that point his buddhi becomes powerful, and his buddhi becomes a vibhuti then. It becomes a vibhuti. Vibhuti means that it becomes an opulence for him. In other words, it becomes an opulence for him. One who has been looking at the atom and the molecules and looking at the electron and proton and neutron and boson and whatever on is there, all those things he was looking at, and he was analyzing all that up to this point. And that brain, which was, or that Shakti inside him, which was doing that, suddenly it starts reflecting that vastu inside, which he has never thought about before. It starts showing its capacity from inside. And that is what this realization, how that happens to that person. Almatum girija madihi. Because in the in the Acharya's language, when they talk about that, that addressing Sri Parvati, because there it is addressed Sri Parvati as the personification of spiritual knowledge. Addressing her, it is said, you are that Atma who reveals that to my intelligence comes under your control, and you make that intelligence in the proper direction. You may have intelligence, but if it's not directed in the proper way, that intelligence is useless. Isn't it? So everybody has intelligence. There's a lot of people who are very intelligent in this world. But unfortunately, Prabhupada mentions this, that the so-called intelligence is directed in the wrong way. Then it has lost its value, use finally. It's useless then. Only if it comes to the right direction, that intelligence has any benefit to the person. Isn't it? That is why Buddhi Yogam is like that. That is that Sushmada. Sushmada is able to guide the intelligence in the right direction. That Sushmatvam. That is called that subtlety in the Bhagavad Gita. That's where all the problem is. There are so many intelligent people in this world, but they will be so good in denying the existence of the soul. They are intelligent. We see so many like that from Cambridge and Oxford coming out. They are so intelligent, but they are so good in denying the existence of the soul. What do you say to them? And they can sit and argue with you for hours and hours together that the soul doesn't exist. So this is where the problem comes. They are intelligent, but that sushmada is not there, the subtlety. Something is missing there in them, that they go exactly in the wrong direction. It goes in the wrong direction. So when the buddhi becomes like that, when buddhi becomes like that, that becomes his swarupam, the buddhi. That buddhi has helped you. If that buddhi has helped you to realize the soul inside, sadvastu inside, or the awareness inside, and if it is able to show that truth inside, that buddhi, Krishna calls it as brahmavaloka dishana. In the Bhagavatam, that is the word used. Have you seen that word? Brahmavaloka dishanam udamapadevaha. In the Bhagavatam says like that. Brahmavaloka dishanam. Some of the words in the Bhagavatam, when you look at it, the depth of the message that Krishna wants to convey to us, it is in the Ekadasha Skandam. You will see there, Brahmavaloka dishanam udamapadeva. That is what is Brahmavaloka dishanam means. If you look into the I think it is in the 11th canto. 11th canto. Brahmavaloka Dishanam Udamabadeva. Where does that come? Somewhere. Yeah. If you look into the 9th chapter in the 11th canto, where 24 spiritual masters were discussed, isn't it? So in that very end of that, he talked about the 24 masters, and then he says, I have got another 25th spiritual master. Who is that 25th spiritual master? Body. So your own body he's talking about, and then he says, Deham, this Deham, Gurur Mama Virakti Viveka Hedu, Bibrasma Satunithanam Sadadat Udarkam, Tatwanyanena Vimrshami Yatha Tathabi, Parakamityavasido Vijaram Asangaha. This body has taught me a very important lesson, says Dattatreya Maharshi to Yadu. Why does he say, Deham Gurur Mama Virakti Viveka Hedu? If I did not have this body, how will I develop detachment from this world? Only because I have this body and this body is giving me a lot of trouble. Therefore, I got detached to it, this body. So, Vairagyam, to teach us Vairagyam, body is my guru. Body is my guru to teach me Vairagyam. Why? Every morning to night gives enough trouble. And Deham Gurur Mama Virakti Vivega Hedu. If body hasn't taught me these lessons, where will detachment come to me? Says Dattatreya Maharshi. Virakti vivegam, and also the ability to discriminate between the soul and the body. That also the body has taught me. If I haven't had this body, I would have never thought about another existence. Only when the body started giving me trouble, I started asking this question, am I this body? Otherwise I won't ask the question, would I? I'll be simply absorbed in the body all the time. So, because the body started giving me trouble, I started asking this question, what is my identity? Who am I? That question has come because of that. Deham gurur mama virakti viveka hedum. Then, bibrasma sattvanidhanam sadadad udarkam tatvanyanena vimrushami yatha tathabi parakamitavasido vijaram asangaha. So, if you see those verses, when he is talking about the body, Dattatreya Maharshi says, Jayaltmajartavashubrityagrihaptavargan pushnadiyat priyachikishadaya vitanvan sande krisakritcham avirudhanasa deham srishtvase bijam avasidadi vrikshadharmaham jihvaigadojam upakarshadi karhidarsham shishno nyadastakudaram shravanam kudaschil Granunyanas Chapaladrikwaja Karma Shaktir Bhakya Sabatnyam Ivagehabadim Lunandi Srishtwa Purani Vividhan Ajayalma Shaktiam Vruchan Sarin Sripapashun Kakadam Shamalsyan Taistai Adushtakhdaya Purusham Vidhaya Brahmavaloga Drishanam Udamabadeva. That is that. That is what Krishna is saying here. That Brahmavaloga Drishana, that is that Buddhi Yogam does. What Buddhi Yogam does to us is, it creates this Brahmavaloka Drishana. Otherwise it won't come very easily, this Brahmavaloka Drishana. Brahmavaloka Drishana is this, that in these four verses, that Dattatreya Maharshi is saying there, that all the senses are dragging him in different direction. The same words you will see in the Prahlada Stuti also, Prahlada's glorification of Narasimhamurti. You will see the same words there. That all the senses are driving us in different directions, pulling us in different directions. And karma shakti, added to all that, this thing called karma shakti inside. What is that karma shakti? I want to be doing something always, isn't it? Rajogunam, that's what it is. Rajogunam manifests in us that I can't sit 1 minute quiet, continuously pushing me to engage in this activity or the one activity or the other. That's that karma shakti does. So, Dattatreya Maharshi says here that all other senses, senses of knowledge, senses of action, all of them are giving me enough trouble. Added to that, chabaladrik, that means the disturbed mind inside also, very chabalam shai, very, very unsteady and disturbed nature. Chabaladrik chaya karma shaktir bhakya sabatnyam iva geha vadyam lunandi, that they are all pulling me in different directions and giving me a lot of trouble. And 24 spiritual masters he spoke, Then he spoke about himself, about the body, mind, how it, this whole package is. But then he says, one thing is there, he said, this body has got one advantage. What's that? Who is saying this? He says that when Brahma created this body, human species, he found out many other different bodies he has created. None of them were suitable for spiritual life. Even if the body is in the heavenly planets, they are good for sense enjoyment. They are not good for self-realization. And the bodies in the other lower species, what has been created, they all don't have that Brahmavaloka Darshanam in there. They don't have that capacity to realize the truth. They have difficulty there. So different species have got different potencies in them. But here, Srishtva Purani, Vividhany Ajayalpa Shaktiyam, Vrikshan Sarin Sripapashun Khagadamsha Malsyan, Taisai Adushta Hridaya, Purusham Vidhaya, Brahmavaloka Darshanam Udamabha Devaha. What has happened here was, Vrikshan Sarin Sripapashun Khagadamsha Malsyan, all birds, bees, aquatics, plants, trees, all other different species he has created, Brahma realized that none of them are capable of realizing the truth. Srishtva Purani, Vividhani, all kinds of srishti, creation he has carried out. Ajay Alpa Shaktya, by his capacity, he potency, he has done that. Then, after doing all these things, he was not happy. Because he thought, that I created all these things, what hope they have got? They will have to stay in that body. There is no possibility of realizing the self. So what's the use of all these bodies? Taisai, therefore, Adushta Hridaya, he was dissatisfied. Brahma was dissatisfied. Then Taisai Adushta Hridaya, then Purusham Vidhaya Brahma Avaloka Dishanam Udamava Devaha. It is at that time the human species was created. When human species were created, Brahma saw this and he understood, oh, what a wonderful creation I have done. Why? In this body, this possibility of Brahmavaloka Darshana is possible. Brahmavaloka Darshana means realizing the self. That Darshana, that Buddhi. And that is what Krishna is talking about here. That Brahmavaloka Darshana is this Buddhi Yogam. What Krishna is saying here. Brahmavaloka Darshana Mudamapa Devaha. So therefore, he says here that he gives that power. And this is called grace or Krupa. Krishna's grace. Isn't it? So because of grace only you can have that Buddhi Yogam. Because of grace only that Buddhi Yogam. One is executing bhakti every day. Executing bhakti means he is engaged in sadhana process, chanting the holy name and studying Srimad Bhagavatam and engaged in the deity worship or temple worship, whichever way. And he is executing all those things. But at the same time, actually what Krishna is saying here is that that bhakti, what Krishna is talking about, is when you surrender. That's when it happens. That, what is that? That abhimanam or ahangaram inside, when it goes back to the souls where it came from, because it came from the hristhanam, isn't it? From the heart, where it has taken birth from the chitshakti. When it goes back and surrenders itself there, that experience, that is what's called bhakti here. That's what's called bhakti here. Aprachalita bhakti, avikampena yogena, Krishna mentions in the previous chapter. And that state is called brahmanishta or jnananishta. There is nishta, that state of existence. When in a completely surrendered state, without any trace of false ego inside, and sending that false ego when one is experiencing, it that thought waves does not develop anymore, it goes back to the source where it came from, due to the power of the realization. And he, for him, Krishna says, he will have Brahmavaloka Darshanam. This Buddhi Yogam will Buddhi Yogam will happen to him. Krishna is saying that. And his state at that time, Krishna says, if he has come to that state, in that realized state, Krishna is saying here, he is the first class devotee and first class jnani also. It's him. That is why you will see in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna mentions earlier, Jnani, Tvalpaiva me matam. Jnani and me, they are non-different. You remember? That's the verse in the fourth or fifth chapter. Yani twalpmeiva memadam astido sahayuktaatma mameva uttamam gadim. Something like that. One verse mentions there. Yani twalpmeiva memadam. What does it mean? Yani twalpmeiva memadam. It is in the Yani twalpmeiva memadam. 718. This is while talking about the knowledge of the absolute. Jnana Yoga. Krishna is saying here, all those devotees are undoubtedly magnanimous souls, but who is situated in knowledge of me, I consider verily to dwell in me. Being engaged in my transcendental service, he attains me. He attains me. Here, Jnani Twalpmeiva Me Matam, that word, if you take it, if you look at it carefully, Krishna is saying that Jnani and me, there is no difference. That's how it is. Look at the word-by-word translation. Jnani, one who is in knowledge, to but Atma Eva, just like myself, me, mine, Matam, that's my opinion. Jnani Twalpmeiva Me Matam. In reality, there is no difference between him and me. Yani twalpmeiva me matam. Krishna is saying, udara sarva evede yani twalpmeiva me matam. Why? Astido sahi yuktalma ma meva uttamam gadim. Because he is situated in that state like me, he is also situated. Krishna is saying, astido sahi yuktalma ma meva uttamam gadim. Ma meva uttamam gadim. In other words, because he has the highest goal in him, he has reached that stage. That is what that stage is talking about. So, Jnani is also a great devotee, you can see. The greatest devotee is a Jnani. And the greatest devotee is a Jnani. And Jnani is the greatest devotee. Krishna says here, all these devotees are undoubtedly magnanimous souls, but he who is situated in knowledge of me. That one we say, Jnani. So, in the devotion, in bhakti, one forgets about oneself. And in Jnanam, one's identity with Krishna becomes very strong. Very strong. Jnani twalpmeiva me matam. That oneness happens. In bhakti, one forgets about oneself. Forgets about oneself. So, bhakti, normally we take bhakti as a kind of an emotion, isn't it? It's a kind of an emotion. Generally, that is how it is taken. Bhakti as an emotion. Just like we'll see Bibhratyut Pulagam Tanyum mentions there. When one feels excitement and strong emotions of bhakti, like hair standing up, and different kinds of emotions inside. These are considered to be the symptoms of bhakti. Symptoms of bhakti. But here, Krishna is saying, Jnani's bhakti is different. It's a little different than that. What is that speciality with the Jnani's bhakti? Jnani twalpmeiva me matam. His realization is so high on the spiritual level that he knows it is Krishna who is inside him. That realization, that him and Krishna practically no fence between the two. That kind of identification with the soul. That is Jnani's bhakti. In other words, there is no, a fence between him and Krishna. To that extent, spiritually he has grown. That realization has happened to him. And that is why bhakti, in the higher sense, when they define that, they mentions that the bhakti where there is no vibhakti. Vibhakti means separation. Bhakti means there is no separation in that way. Vibhakti means what? As soon as you get separated from Krishna, ahankaram, false ego comes, separation comes. So what creates that separation in that way on a spiritual level is that ahankaram, false ego, on a spiritual platform. Bodily platform, there is always difference. That's another thing. But on a spiritual platform, what separates us from Krishna is the false ego. You see, false ego, ahamvritti, that false ego. When that does not make any movement anymore, and it goes back and gets itself destroyed inside, that happiness, what comes from within, is called Atmarati or Atma Truptasya Manava. Krishna mentions many words like that in the Bhagavad Gita. And that state, love or Krishna's grace, peacefulness, all these things combined together is called Bhakti. Is called Bhakti. And that Bhakti will give him the knowledge, Tattvajnanam. Tattvajnanam will happen to him. All these are interconnected each other. Tattvajnanam he gets very easily, Krishna says. So here in this verse you can see Krishna says that Tesham, Tesham Satata Yuktanam Bhajanam Preeti Purvakam Dadami Buddhi Yogam Tam. That word, last word, Yenamam Upayandide, Krishna says. Yenamam Upayandide. In other words, once he has got Tattvajnanam, with this bhakti, he will reach that state of Tattvajnanam. Once that Tattvajnanam happens, Yenamam Upayantite. Krishna is saying here, he comes back to me. He has come to me, and he has joined me ultimately. And he will experience that oneness of the jiva loses its identity. And jivalma, paramalma, aikyam, that oneness can happen to him. That is what he mentions there. So, normally we make a lot of mistakes in all these things. That sometimes we say, for development of bhakti, jnanam is a problem. Sometimes people misunderstand it like that. If it is a problem, Krishna wouldn't have spoken like this, would it? That if bhakti was the whole principle, no. In Bhagavad Gita, if you seriously study Bhagavad Gita, you will see Bhagavad Gita talks about, he says these two processes, which one? Jnana yogena sankhyanam, karma yogena yoginam. These are the only two processes Krishna talks about. And then without bhakti, either jnana margam or karma margam will not work. Therefore, that is also stressed there. You can see the interconnection between bhakti and jnanam here. Krishna is saying that that first-class devotee is a jnani. Jnani twalpmeiva me madam. Udara sarva yevede jnani twalpmeiva me madam. Asthida sahi yuktalma maam eva uttamam gadim. His destination is very clear where he is going to go. So what has happened to him? That when does this vibhakti comes? Vibhakti comes. When did we get separated from Krishna? When we were born, isn't it? Due to the birth of the false ego. That's what is separated from our pure consciousness. Pure consciousness is Krishna. We broke away from that pure consciousness, and this individual consciousness, ekadeshiya satta, personality, pride, all these developed when we broke up from that consciousness. Consciousness is that got broken. In reality, it doesn't break. But due to the birth of the false ego, that breaking has happened. It has broken up. And when that false ego disappears from inside, the trace of false ego goes away, ahamvritti, abhimanam, ahankaram goes away inside, then automatically the experience of the pure consciousness comes back. Atmaradi, atmatruptascha manava, Krishna says. And that love, shanti, all other things of the pure consciousness comes back to us, and that is called bhakti. That is what is addressed as bhakti. Generally, people think bhakti means a kind of an emotion. Suppose someone sheds a lot of tears while hearing Krishna katha, or when one is dancing in ecstasy. Sometimes we devotees dance also in ecstasy, isn't it? So we take that all as bhakti. Take that all as bhakti. But in pure terms, in the language of the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, when they address bhakti in a higher sense, proper understanding of bhakti is this. That when this bhakti comes, Krishna says, that separation between me and him, the devotee has gone. Separation has gone once for all. So that bhakti will give him tattvajnanam. The other bhakti, what he has executed through in his sadhana process in various ways, that may not get you to the tattvajnanam. Only this knowledge will get you to the tattvajnanam. So when the tattvajnanam comes, Krishna says, yenamam upayandide. These verses you have to understand in this way only. Otherwise, simply taking it in the name of bhakti and saying that everything is going on in the way what we are practicing here, and sometimes you can see the problem that when Krishna explains, it will be very difficult to connect each other, many verses. Just like sometimes we pick up these four verses, machita malgada prana, starting from aham sarvasya prabho mata sarvam prajurtade idimatva bhajandevam. You can interpret the whole, all these four verses simply in terms of the laugiya bhakti. You can interpret the same verses in the same way in the laugiya bhakti. Laugiya bhakti, remember what I was talking about yesterday, that there are two kinds of atheists in this world. One who completely denies the existence of the soul. He is an atheist who doesn't accept the existence of the soul. He says, exist. If you deny the existence of the soul, it means you are denying existence of God, isn't it? So that is one kind of atheists. The other kind is those who will cling on to their habits and go to the temple, do all sorts of things, never will take seriously Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. They won't listen anything to what Krishna says, and they are also called atheists. They are also atheists. And those atheists are more dangerous than the other one. These ones, they will show to the world that they are spiritual, but in reality they are not. In reality they are not. Because why? They are not listening to what Krishna is saying. Krishna is saying so many things here in the Bhagavad Gita. They say, oh no, I don't need to hear all these things. This is, if you have time, you can spend your time, but I'm going to the temple, I'm doing my deity worship at home, and I'm fasting on Ekadashi day. But he will not allow the knowledge of Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavatam to get inside. They are very firm on that. They don't want it. So fixed they are in their conviction and in their resolution, in other words. Such people, for them, bhakti means all other emotional things, isn't it? Emotional activities. They say, oh, I'm a great devotee because I went on every Ekadashi day I have fasted. Or I have gone to... They fall into that trap. And they think that on Janmashtami day, or I have done so many other things in spiritual life. I went to on Parikrama, on Govardhanam or so many other places, so many times. And this way I have accumulated a lot of pious activities, credit to my account. And Krishna must be recognizing this, all this for me. That's how he convinces himself. But that is not true. Krishna is not very pleased when we don't take Krishna's word seriously. Krishna is saying to us, in these verses you can see that machita, malgada prana, bodhai, there is a science behind the whole things what Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavad Gita. Bodhayanda parasparam, Bhagavad Gita is not only a book of bhakti, it's a book of knowledge as well. Book of knowledge as well. And that is why regularly Krishna is reminding us, yani twaltmaiva me matam. Isn't it? Udara sarva evede, yani twaltmaiva me matam. So many places Krishna is glorifying that yani. Why? Why is that? If everything was, Krishna was satisfied with our mundane devotion, what we exhibit in this world, Krishna need not have spoken all these things, did he? But Krishna knows very well that in order for us to realize the truth, spiritually make that progress, freedom from the body, freedom from the mind, freedom from the intelligence, ego, all these things has to happen while remaining within this body. Wherever Krishna has spoken the tattvam, tattvajnanam, you can see this, Krishna stressing this point very strongly. Now, these group of people who believes in the going to temple, doing other things, deity worship and everything, but who cares absolutely nothing for Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, they are classified from the Vedic viewpoint as atheists. From the Vedic viewpoint, they are atheists. Why? Because they would not allow Krishna's message to get in. Deliberately they block it.
to get inside. That is their problem. So that is why Krishna is saying here, when Krishna is explaining in the Bhagavad Gita, you can see here, Aham Sarvasya Prabhavo. We have to understand this. What is Krishna saying there? Aham Sarvasya Prabhavo Matta Sarvam Pravartade Idimatva Bhajante Mam Buddha Bhava Samanvidaha Machitta Malgada Prana Bodhayanda Parasparam Kathayandas Chamam Nityam Tushyanti Charamanti Cham. Then Tesham Satada Yuktanam Bhajadam Pridhi Purvagam Dadami Buddhi Yogam Tham Yenamam Upayandide. So who gets that Buddhi Yogam? A person who has followed these other ones, previous ones, what Krishna has spoken. Even after following all these things, still if he is not able to make it, Krishna says, I will interfere. But you have to do all these things first, before that. That Aham Sarvasya Prabhavo Mata Sarvam Pravartade Idimatva Bhajande Ma Buddha Bhava Samanyuda. That is the requirement. Machitta Malgada, that means Salsangam, all these things. That's where all these things happen. Machitta Malgada Prana Bodhayanda Parasparam Kathayandascha Mam Nityam Tushyandicha Ramandicha. In all these things are happening until Tesham Satada Yuktanam Bhajadam Pridipurvakam. After all this, with that proper bhavam inside, if he is doing that, then if he is missing something, Dadami Buddhi Yogandam, Krishna says, I will direct his intelligence in the right direction. Dadami Buddhi Yogandam Yenamam Upayandide. I'll read that bhashyam here. Tesham Satata Yuktanam Nityabhi Yuktanam Nivrta Sarva Bahya Eshananam Bhajadam Sevamananam Kim Artitvadinam Karanena Na Iti Aha Pridi Purvagam Pridi Snehatat Purvagam Mam Bhajadam Ityartha Dadami Prayachami Buddhi Yogam Buddhi Samyak Darshanam Mat Tattu Vishayam Tena Yogo Buddhi Yoga Tam Buddhi Yogam Tena Buddhi Yogena Samyak Darshana Lakshanena Mam Parameshwaram Mam Parameshwaram Atma Bhutam Atmatvena Upayandi Pratipadyante. You can't specify more clear than that. Says here that his activity, Tesham Satata Yuktanam, always surrender to Krishna in all times, offering everything to Krishna, and freedom from with three Eshana. Eshana means Viteshana, Putreshana, Dareshana, or Logeshana, they say. That means that these are called Eshana Trayam. In a household life particularly, this is, now not in household, in all ashram it's there. So, Eshana Trayam. This Eshana means attachment to wealth, attachment to wealth, vittam, money. Then, not knowing its value, thinking that that will protect him, dependence on that, thinking that it will protect him from all distress. That's the falsity of that. That is called Viteshana. Then, Putreshana, Dareshana, in other words, feeling that wife and children is the only thing to be concerned about in this life. Nothing else to be concerned about. Not about spiritual life, not about one's own realization of the self, but only about the wife and children. That state, that is called Putreshana or Dareshana. Putreshana or Dareshana. And Logeshana. Logeshana means that this desire for name and fame in this world. All this is Logeshana. So, when one is freed from all these things and without desiring for any other purpose, no other agraham, desires inside, and one who wants to come back to me, one who is approaching me in that state, that's what Krishna is saying here. Tesham satata yuktanam bhajanam priti purvagam. That bhajanam priti purvagam means one who is free from all kinds of material contaminations and one who is approaching Krishna in that state, and such a person, and for him, I will give him, Krishna says, Dadami Buddhi Yogantam Yenamam Upayandide. What is that Buddhi Yogam here? Samyak Darshanam. Samyak Darshanam means that realization of Krishna's presence in all the living entities. So, what will happen to him is, because of that, his jnanam, his knowledge, is combined with this Samyak Darshanam, of the Samyak Darshanam, of the presence of realizing Krishna is others, that he comes back to me through that process alone, he comes back to me. Ke te ye machit tattvadi prakare mam bhajande
കിമർത്ഥം കസ്യവ ത്വൽപ്രാപ്തി പ്രതിബന്ധഹേതോ നാശകം ബുദ്ധിയോഗം തേഷാം ത്വൽഭക്താനാം ദദാസി ഇതി ആകാംക്ഷായാം ആഹ.
ദാറ്റ് ഈസ് ദാറ്റ് ബുദ്ധിയോഗം. കൃഷ്ണ ഈസ് സെയിങ്,
സോ വൈ ദോസ് ഹു ആർ ഫോളോയിങ് ദിസ് പ്രോസസ്, വൈ ആർ ദേ ഗിവൺ ബുദ്ധിയോഗം? ബിക്കോസ് ഈസ് ഇൻ ഓർഡർ, ഈസ് ദാറ്റ് ഫോർ ദ സേക്ക് ഓഫ് ഓവർകമ്മിങ് ഓൾ അതർ ഒബ്സ്റ്റക്കിൾസ് ഓൺ ദാറ്റ് പാത്ത്? And Arjuna asked that question to him. Is the idea behind, Krishna said here, Tesham satata yuktanam bhajadam pritipurvakam dadami buddhiyogandam yenamam upayandide. Isn't it? So when did Krishna say this? After saying the two verses before that. So, aham sarvasya prabho matta sarvam pravartade idhi matva bhajandema buddha bhava samanyuta.
That we have seen what it is.
Then the next one, machitta malgada prana bodhayanda parasparam kadayanda shamam nitya tushyanti cha ramanti cha.
We have discussed that also.
After these two situations one has crossed through, then Krishna is saying such a person, naturally he is established in a very high state of self-realization. And what he'll be doing most of the time, he'll be all the time tesham satata yuktanam, always he is bhajadam priti purvakam. That means his bhajana, his worship or his spiritual life is priti purvakam, with full bhavam he is doing. So he has got everything and he is doing everything right, and still if he is not coming to the destination, dadami buddhi yogam tam, I will give that buddhi yogam, I will direct him in the right way, in such a way that he will have samyak darshanam in him. And it, when Krishna said this to Arjuna, Arjuna has got this doubt that has he got any obstacles to overcome at that stage? Because already he is in a very higher state, isn't it? He's already higher state. So, and in order to answer that, Krishna is answering that in the next verse. But before that, you have to remember here that this that yenama upayandide, Krishna says, at that stage, enama upayandide means jivatma paramatma aikyam. That is that enama upayandide. It comes to that stage. So that anandam or experience of the soul, he experiences it within himself. Where does he experience? In the hrithsthanam, where the andaryami is inside. That is where he is experiencing. And when he is experiencing, you have to remember, understand this very nicely. When he is experiencing this here, it is still Ekadeshiya Satta. He hasn't gone beyond the body yet. He is experiencing it inside himself. But when the Samyak Darshanam happens, Samyak Darshanam happens, it is not experienced anymore within the body, it is experienced all over. It's a higher state than while experiencing. Initially, it is experienced here. Initially, that is what Paramatma Aikyam, Jiva Paramatma Aikyam, first it is experienced within oneself. And at that time, it is still what Jnanis call it as Ekadeshiya Satta. It is still in localized. It is still localized. And it is after that, due to some kripa or grace, mercy of the spiritual master or Krishna. It is Krishna's grace, either come directly from Krishna or it comes through the spiritual master. It is Krishna's grace, but it comes directly from Krishna or from the spiritual master. It comes, and that is when Jivatma Paramatma Aikyam becomes perfect in totally. Initially, he realizes within himself, the self. He is realized within himself. What is that realization? Andaryami inside. Presence of the Andaryami inside. And at that time, he experiences Atmarati. Atma truptascha manava. So many things Krishna says there, isn't it? I think it is in the sixth or seventh chapter he says, Atma truptascha manava, Atmanyev, Atmana tushta. All so many verses he mentions in the second chapter also. Forget the beginning. So, Atma truptascha manava, he says. So, Atma truptascha, that means, inside he is satisfied within himself. And he is experiencing all that bliss of the soul inside. But still, he has not reached the state of all pervasiveness. It hasn't happened to him yet. ജീവാത്മ പരമാത്മ ഐക്യം ഹാസൻറ്റ് ഹാപ്പൻഡ്. ഇൻസൈഡ് ഹി ഹാസ് എക്സ്പീരിയൻസ്ഡ് ഹിസ് സ്പിരിച്വൽ ഐഡൻറ്റിറ്റി ആൻഡ് ഫ്രം ദി തത്വജ്ഞാനം ഹാസ് ഹാപ്പൻഡ് ആൻഡ് ദ റിസൾട്ട് ഓഫ് ദാറ്റ് ദിസ് ഓൾ ഹാപ്പൻസ് ഇൻ എ മച്ച് ലേറ്റർ ഡേറ്റ് ആൻഡ് ഡ്യൂ ടു ദ തത്വജ്ഞാനം ആൻഡ് ഭക്തി ദാറ്റ് ഈസ് ഡെവലപ്ഡ് ഇൻസൈഡ് ഈശ്വര സർവഭൂതാനാം ഹൃദയേശേ അർജുന തിഷ്ഠതി ബ്രാഹ്മീൻ സർവഭൂതാനി യന്ത്രാരൂഢാനി മായയ ആൻഡ് തമേവ ശരണം ഗച്ഛ സർവഭാവേന ഭാരത. സോ ഈ ഹസ് ഡൺ ദാറ്റ്. തമേവ ശരണം ഗച്ഛ സർവഭാവേന ഭാരത. സോ വാട്ട് ഈസ് ഹാപ്പൻ ടു ഹിം? എൽ പ്രസാദാൽ പരാം ശാന്തി. ശാന്തി ഹാസ് കം ടു ഹിം. ആൻഡ് ദെൻ ദിസ് ദ നെക്സ്റ്റ് മൂവ്മെൻറ്റ് ആഫ്റ്റർ ദാറ്റ്. വാട്ട് ഈസ് ദാറ്റ്? ദ ലോക്കലൈസ്ഡ് റിയലൈസേഷൻ ഹാസ് ബിക്കം ദി റിയലൈസേഷൻ ഓഫ് ദ ഹോൾ. Initially, it's only localized. Within himself, he realizes that his identification is not the body as the soul. But now what will happen? It goes to the next step. That is why that comes from the... That he realizes, I am not that person who is sitting only inside this body. That's that realization. By now, he has gone... That is the stage Sukha Brahmarshi is. See? Remember? Tam sarvabhuda hridayam munimanatosmi. This is why it is called like that. Sarvabhuda hridayam munimanatosmi, he says. He is present everywhere. That shows that how solid that identification with the Jivalpa and Paramalpa is in Sukha Brahmarshi. We have misunderstood a lot of things on this. I don't know how, why it has happened in that way, but I have to say this. That we take it like this. Sukha Brahmarshi was a Advaiti. We know right through. Prabhupada also confirms that. He is a 100% monist, and that too one of the fundamentalist monist, if you want to call it that way. Fundamentalist, if there is anybody in the monism, that's him. And when he spoke Srimad Bhagavatam, many people say this. I have heard also from others saying that after he heard Srimad Bhagavatam from him, he changed his Siddhantam. Siddhantam you cannot change like that. It is not possible. All devotees who were with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they were all Advaitis. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Advaitacharya, and Prakashananda Saraswati, they were all in Siddhantam, they all held Advaitam. They have not changed anything. What has changed is, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu exhibited Krishna Bhakti to him, that has moved their hearts. That is what has happened. Siddhantam you can't change like that. Suppose in Siddhantam is all on an intellectual level. You have to remember that. No matter Siddhantam, you may get convinced by one Siddhantam. You may get convinced by another Siddhantam also. It is possible. Siddhantam you can't change in that way. And they all, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya in his time, he was the greatest logician, Nyaya Shastram. He was the highest authority in Bharatavarsham at that time, in the Nyaya Shastram. Prakashananda Saraswati was one of the greatest authorities on the Advaita Vedantam. And similarly, Advaita Acharya himself was a monist. In that way. And you will see, you know, some of the pastimes when it is discussed between Advaitacharya and Lord Nityananda, Lord Nityananda making fun of Advaitacharya about monism. Isn't it? You will see them, read them in the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. All that remains as it is. Siddhantam you cannot change in anybody. It is not possible. Siddhantam remains as it is. What has actually changed is that Krishna Bhakti, what Mahaprabhu has exhibited, that has moved them. That they were affected by that. Krishna himself was exhibited through Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was a manifestation of Krishna's devotional aspect, isn't it? That devotional aspect has touched them, and that is what they have surrendered to Mahaprabhu at that time. That made them surrender. When that happens, Siddhantam everything gives away. Siddhantam has no value anymore. Similarly, in Sukha Brahmarshi's case also, when he heard Srimad Bhagavatam from Vedavyas, he was moved by the devotees. Activities. But that doesn't mean Siddhantam has changed. His Siddhantam remains the same. And that is why Tam Sarvabhuda Hridayam Munimanatosmi. That the Jivatma Brahmatma Aikyam is absolute as far as the Sukha Brahmarshi situation is concerned. That hasn't changed. So here you can see, he in essence, his satta situation, his existence is not anymore inside his body, inside his body alone. It is not limited to his own body. In other words, previously it was limited to his own body, but when this grace comes from Krishna, his existence has changed, is beyond this body, beyond this body. So at that time his mind, senses, intelligence, everything is always reflecting experience of the self, experience of the self, because it is that everything that is born from the self is eventually going back to the self. Everything, it is that is all what in reality exists. So that experience, when it comes, then you can say that he has experienced perfection in his spiritual life. Only at that time you can say. So therefore, first thing what we have to do, we have to execute bhakti. We have to execute bhakti. How? Bhava samanyudaha. Krishna says that before, isn't it? That in the verses before, he says, buddha bhava samanyudaha. So that's where it begins. Execution of bhakti, bhava samanyudaha. So afterwards, and with that bhavam, when it is executed, one has to hand over the mind, intelligence, everything to Krishna. Everything to Krishna. We give so many, offer so many other things to Krishna, to friends, to relatives, everything. We give so many things to Krishna also, isn't it? Fruits, flowers, offering. But higher than all that, Krishna is saying here, bhava samanyudaha. Bhavam is more important. Bhavam is more important. So we'll stop there today. We'll continue next Saturday. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.